The following is a special local sports presentation on 92.1 WVTK. This is Middlebury Union High School football. All season long, catch every game, home and away, Tiger football on 92.1 WVTK is brought to you in part by
One Credit Union, your locally owned credit union on Green Street in Vergennes. Foster Motors, home of the We Care People on Route 7 South in Middlebury. Vermont Field and Sports for all your sports and hunting needs, and a great selection of new and used guns on Route 7 South in Middlebury. McIntyre Services of Middlebury on Court Street and Exchange Street. McIntyre Services, keeping friends warm for over 70 years. Mike's Auto and Towing for all your car care needs and more. See them online at Mike's Auto MIDD.com. That's Mike's Auto MID.com. The A. Johnson Lumber Company of Bristol. Sustainable timber harvesting and SFI certified. Mike's Fuels of Bridport and Brandon. For all your home, business, and agricultural fuel needs on Route 22A in Bridport and in Brandon. Monument Farms of Weybridge. For local fresh milk from their farm to your local store. Martin's Hardware of Bristol and Middlebury. Your local True Value Hardware store and more. J.P. Carrera and Sons Concrete. Always ready to mix and they guarantee a solid finish. Call them at 388-6366. Desabray Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat, 1232 Exchange Street in Middlebury with a drop-off location in Vergennes. Dedeker Chevrolet, where they give you free state inspections for as long as you own the vehicle. Route 7 South in Middlebury, find new roads. Autumn Gold Jewelry, featuring the Earth's most beautiful gifts. Autumn Gold Jewelry on Main Streets, downtown Middlebury, and at autumngoldjewelry.com. The National Bank of Middlebury, with locations in Middlebury, Bristol, Vergennes, Brandon, and Hinesburg, and online at mbmvt.com. LaBerge Insurance Incorporated, for all your insurance needs on Washington Street in Middlebury. Napa Auto Parts on Court Street in Middlebury. They have parts for the car, truck, boat, and even the 18-wheelers. Champlain Valley Properties of Middlebury. Looking for a new home? Visit ChamplainValleyProperty.com and see their videos on their YouTube channel at Champlain Valley Properties VT. Woodware, offering the finest furniture, housewares, and accessories on Route 7 South in Middlebury. Community College of Vermont, where high school students can earn free and transferable college credits at any of their college's 12 campuses or online at GoToCollegeVT.org. Countryside Carpet and Paint of Middlebury, your one stop for flooring, paint, and window treatments. Stop in today and decorate the countryside way. County Tire Center on Seymour Street in Middlebury, your trusted source for all your automotive and tire needs. County Tire Center, 802-388-7620 or at countytirecenter.com. Brandon RV on Route 7 in Pittsburgh. Let them keep you in the sun all year long with a quality RV and at prices lower than any other dealer in the U.S. or Canada. Lathrop Forest Products, with over 64 years of experience in the forests of Vermont, they have the skills and capability to consistently harvest timber. And Addison County Home Health and Hospice, providing quality home care to the residents of Addison County since 1968, on Route 7 in New Haven. And now, let's go to the field. And with the call of today's game, it's Bjarke Sears and Bruce Seaman on 92.1 WVTK.
Well, as we like to talk about here on this program and on our games of the week, football in America is one of those great traditions. And along with that, of course, in high school football comes the great tradition of homecoming. It is homecoming week, week four of our season here on 92.1 WVTK. I'm Bjarke Sears, along with my radio partner, Bruce Seaman. We're very excited to bring you this weekend, week four's matchup. The Middlebury Tigers versus the Essex Hornets. Bruce, Middlebury comes in with a record of 1-2. They've been through a tough gauntlet here to start the season. An easy win against Colchester to start the year. A pretty tough loss against Hartford. But then a real close game against the team that's ranked number one in the state, St. Johnsbury. On the other hand, Essex, the team that has a lot of promise and a lot of skill position players returning, they come in 0-3. So tonight, kind of an opportunity maybe for both teams.
Yeah, Bjarke, I think you make a good point because the Tigers definitely playing the most difficult part of their schedule early. Coming out of it 1-2, probably not the way that they wanted to be, but again, they had the big win week one. They had the tough loss to Hartford. And last week, a game that they could have won, a 9-7 loss. Little sloppy. Both teams played pretty sloppy, and hopefully this week, the Tigers had a chance to work on some things. As you said last week, I think it gives them a chance to identify some of the areas that they need to work on. And tonight, they're playing a team that's 0-3, and that presents presents some challenges in and of itself. You don't want to look past them. But also, this Essex team is going to come in here hungry, looking for win number one.
And this Essex team certainly is. When you look at the common matchups, they've only played one team in common. That was the Hilltoppers of St. Jay. Middlebury, of course, did play them at home. Essex played them away. But Hilltoppers handled the Hornets easily to a score of 30-8. And then last week, at the game Essex played against CVU, they actually went into overtime with neither team having scored. It ended up being 6-3 with the Redhawks defeating the Hornets. So what's going to happen this week? Well, certainly hoping for some more offense from the Tigers. The Tigers have scored one offensive touchdown in the last 2 weeks, so looking to get that back on track. And looking for the defense to really firm up their game. Although they only allowed 9 points against the vaunted St. Johnsbury offense last week, there were opportunities that St. Johnsbury just kind of missed at times.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised by some of the play calling that St. Johnsbury chose last week. And early in the game, the Hilltoppers had the Tigers on the ropes. The quarterback had the Tiger defense spread out. He was taking his time. He had a lot of time. There wasn't a lot of pressure. But for some reason, he kind of stopped doing that. And again, like we talked about, Bjarke, the problem with doing that is when you let a team stick around, it was a one-score game most of the game. And the Tigers, they could have won that game, but just at the end of the game, there were some misplays and everything. So we'll see what happens this week.
Absolutely. It's going to be an exciting week here at 92.1 WVTK. And I have to say, it is also an exciting week for us, the WVTK family. With homecoming every year, there are Hall of Fame, MHS, meaning Middlebury High School, and then MUHS, Middlebury Union High School, inductions into the Hall of Fame, the local high school Hall of Fame. And we're very proud to say, of course, we're excited for all the inductees. We have Linda Andrews, who, along with being a stellar student and a Dory Cup winner in her time at MUHS, I believe, she was an outstanding skier. We have Randy Saberin, who was a fantastic wrestler, as well as a strong football player. He was on a state championship team, as well as playing the lead role in the senior play Grease, by the way, so a bit of a renaissance man.
Danny Zuko.
And finally, though, I think we have to say, and I don't think anyone will accuse us for being biased when we say this, we are particularly happy that David Sears, the voice, the famous, just a real legend around here and around Vermont, known for his gregariousness, the way he really was such a part of the community, anywhere from being involved in so many sporting activities, announcing Middlebury Panther hockey and other sports for so many years, and then, of course, Tiger football for 17 years. Certainly someone you got to know over the years, Bruce.
You know, it's tough for me, Bjarke. Dave and I were very good friends, and when I was asked to not only do Tiger football, but also step into his role at the college a little bit, you don't replace somebody that's a legend.
Sure.
It's just not possible. You try to do your own thing, but, you know, and I'll tell you a quick funny hockey story. At the box over at Kenyon Arena, there's a picture of Dave Sears in the box. And every time when I go in there, I tap him on the head and say, listen, help me have a good game today. He set the standard for broadcasting in this area. He could tell stories that just had you mesmerized. You'd be listening on the radio, and you'd like, my goodness, he knew stuff that happened years ago. And it was just, he painted a picture. He was one of the most talented broadcasters that I've ever met, and I miss him. I really do. So what an honor for him and his family. I'm glad to be here to see it.
And so we're going to call it Dave Sears Night here on 92.1 WVTK, and you know why I'm doing this funny voice if you hear me. We'll be right back as we roll towards kickoff on 92.1 WVTK.
You already know County Tire Center is the place to go when it's time to retire your tires. But County Tire Center is so much more than tires. You're under the car care specialist. Everything from regular maintenance to inspections, repairs, and shocks. We're even a qualified hybrid shop. Plus, our shuttle service is always available, so you're never stranded. County Tire Center, with great tire brands like Firestone, Bridgestone, and Nokian. On Seymour Street, across from Fire and Ice in Middlebury, and at countytirecenter.com.
Desiree Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat is located at 1232 Exchange Street, Middlebury. We offer wash, dry, fold, shirt service, bulk rate dry cleaning, wedding gowns, rugs, Uggs, bedding, and alterations. The laundromat's open 7 days a week, 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. For our customers, there's free Wi-Fi available, as well as a TV room. We have single load washers, up to 60-pound washers, and 30-pound to 75-pound dryers. Desiree on Exchange Street in Middlebury.
This year, have you been dreaming about staying in the warm weather for the winter? You can make your dreams come true at Brandon Auto and RV, Route 7 in Pittsford. Scott has any camper or RV you're looking for, and from famous names like Falcon, Gulfstream, and Travelite. And for the family that loves to get away, pick out your new or used camper early, because at Brandon Auto and RV, they've got the lowest prices in the U.S. and Canada. See them on Facebook and at BrandonRVBT.com.
When making home improvements, consider your options carefully.
Excuse me? Hello? I'm looking for bathroom tile.
Hi.
Oh, finally. I'm looking for bathroom tile.
Well, you're in the plumbing department, so...
So you can't help me?
No.
Countryside Carpet and Paint is your hometown experts in paint, flooring, tile, and hardwood. Their advice is genuine, and they truly care about how your project comes together. Countryside Carpet and Paint in Middlebury.
Decorate the countryside away.
Champlain Valley Properties, the voice of Addison County Real Estate, proudly supports the MUHS Tigers. They're at 70 Court Street in Middlebury. Stop by and see one of their agents, Nancy Foster, Robin Foster Cole, Diana Barthium, Mandy Daly Hodson, and John Snyder White. And they're all MUHS alumni or have students currently attending MUHS. At Champlain Valley Properties, they're ready and willing to assist you with all your real estate needs. Stop by and see them or check their webpage out at champlainvalleyproperty.com.
Make sure your bow is tuned up and ready for the hunt. Stop in to Vermont Field Sports and have Tim tune your bow for that shot you've been scouting for. And don't forget to check out the new PSE and Parker bows and crossbows. You've been waiting all year for this one chance at the perfect shot. Don't miss out. With 30 years experience, the staff at Vermont Field Sports can answer all of your questions. Vermont Field Sports, located at 1458 Route 7 South in Middlebury. Or find us on Facebook at Vermont Field Sports.
McIntyre Services, with two locations, has been serving Addison County residents for over 70 years. They sell home heating fuel, diesel fuel, and gasoline at 213 Exchange Street and at 49 Court Street, both in Middlebury. At McIntyre Services, Sunoco is their brand, and they encourage you to apply for the Sunoco Rewards Card, where you can save 5 cents on every gallon of gas or diesel right at the pump. McIntyre Services in Middlebury, making friends warm for over 70 years.
This is Middlebury Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
Well, what an evening for football it is, Bruce. We are 4-for-4 here, approaching halfway through the regular season, and an absolutely fantastic night of football. Sun's going down a little earlier every time we talk to you and lay this out, as I like to do every week. Beautiful cloudless sky, the lights are on, the sun has gone down in the west over Cornwall and Weybridge, Bridport Way, little bit of smoke coming from the tailgaters and from the food booth where the Friends of Tiger Football are doing their thing, and we are awaiting the teams out here on homecoming night. Lots of sports around this weekend. We'll have soccer games at home tomorrow, field hockey, other things as well. So certainly a great night for sports, great weekend for sports. And what are you looking forward to this weekend, Bruce? What are you looking forward to in this game?
Well, you know, Bjarke, it's going to be interesting to see what adjustments the Tigers made this past week. They had a huge week one, scoring 49 points. They had the tough game against Hartford, and last week struggled a little bit to score some points. Week one, Cody Pominville, the quarterback, doing a great job managing the game. He played relatively well the last two games, too, but week one, 49-point explosion. It'd be interesting to see if they're able to do that tonight. Now, you mentioned Essex comes into this game 0-3, but they've also only scored 17 points in those three games. You're not going to win a lot of football games when you score 6.5 points a game. So, again, I think if the Tigers can get off to a quick start, I think they may be able to put one in the win column. But, again, that's why you play the games. We have to see.
It is, and I'm interested to see what happens with the offense tonight. I think, you know, the first week we saw them come out and try to throw it around quite a bit with some success. The last couple weeks, really, they've had trouble moving the ball. I do the stats every week, and the average yard per carry has just dropped off the table for everyone. Except for Simon Fisher, who's carried the ball only 7 times. He has an average of 13 yards a carry, which is great, but he tends to be kind of a few plays here and there, big play carrier. Everyone else, you know, anywhere from 2.6, 2.93, Paul Deering, one of the starters, is 2.93 yards per carry. Lane Sheldrick, though, last week on number 30, he was our player of the game in a tough game. He really kind of, they seem to really start featuring him more and more. So I'm interested. those things that they had going last week against a tough opponent, are they going to continue to kind of say, let's dial those things in? Let's get Lane the ball. Let's really work Tyler Hutt more and more in. He has not had many carries through three games so far, only 7 carries a game for the fullback in a Middlebury Tiger offense. That's almost unheard of. Are they going to go back to those basics, or are we going to see them go to that very varied, sorry for the repeating, but the varied offense that we saw in that first week? And I would think they should stick with some of what they started finding last week with success and keep building on that and kind of build from your core and move out. It'll be interesting to see what that is. And then in terms of the defense, really the issue has been, and we saw this last week, the line has not been able to pressure the quarterback consistently. As a result, the defensive backs have had to cover for a very long time, really get back in a zone and wait. They've had to start with a huge cushion off the line of scrimmage. Last year at times they were 7 yards off the line of scrimmage, 10 yards off in some cases, as we hear the sound of the Tigers starting to come out to the bagpipes. And so will that defense against a softer opponent, this is not a team that scored a lot of points, can that defense get back on track, pressure the quarterback enough to help those defensive backs out and really shut this team down? On paper they should, but as you mentioned, that's why we play the game.
You know, one of the other things too that we mentioned last week during the game, in some cases at some of the positions there was such an inordinate size difference in players. In some cases there were players that had 100 pounds on one of the Tiger players. I don't care how fast you are, if someone is 100 pounds bigger than you are hits you, you're going to get rocked.
Sure.
So there doesn't seem to be that big of a diversity in size this week, so we'll see if that has any play in this game.
Yeah, how does that go for the Tigers? Certainly we saw the first week even, there's been a size disadvantage every week. The first week against Colchester, they were really able to get inside, people get up in their pads, really move them around with their speed and their quickness. What's going to happen tonight? How's that going to be? Certainly something we're going to watch. Here come the Tigers coming out to their normal music. They are wearing their home blacks, the black uniform with the white numbers on the back, white numbers on the helmet, black pants with orange trim, all looking fit and ready to go. We are still waiting at the moment for the Essex Hornets to come out. We see at the far end, the MUHS chorus is getting ready. They're going to come out and sing the national anthem tonight, as they always do during homecoming. And people are starting to settle in the stands. I think there's an excitement in the stands tonight. I think people are really expecting a game where the Tigers really come out and really put some points up, really play some good football. I think people are really excited to get back on track. It'll be interesting to see how the feeling goes. If you get into the first quarter, it stays tight, stays low scoring. How does everybody feel? Do the players tighten up? It'll be interesting to watch.
It will be interesting to watch, and as you mentioned, the Tigers have played the most difficult part of their schedule the first 3 games. They're 1-2, okay? So going into week 4, where they've got an opponent that has struggled, this is the week where you come on, and pardon the expression, you want to step on the throat. You don't want to let them get in the game at all. We saw that week 1. Cody Pominville, his speed had the team just completely confused. They weren't able to even catch up with that. They were off balance the entire game. That's why they put up 49 points.
Right, absolutely. So what's it going to be tonight? We're not sure, but we're going to love to find out, and we're going to have fun bringing it to you here over the radio. It is homecoming. It's Hall of Fame night. It is Dave Sears night on 92.1 WVTK, and we're excited to bring everything to you. The Tigers are going to be playing tonight against Essex. They're going to be, this is an important game, they're going to be at Rutland next week, so the schedule gets a little tougher again, and then home against the Bulldogs of Burr Burton. We're excited for this next slate of games as the season really gets underway. We'll be back with the starting lineups of the Middlebury Tigers and the Essex Hornets on 92.1 WVTK.
Look under your feet. That's concrete. And whether it's at home, on the farm, or in the workplace, concrete makes up foundations, sidewalks, barnyards. There are lots of uses for concrete in Addison County, but there's only one place to get it. J.P. Carrera & Sons. Their state-of-the-art plant, modern fleet of red, white, and blue trucks, and experienced drivers ensure the quality and efficient delivery of your concrete, crushed gravel, wash sand, and stone. Route 116 Middlebury, 388-6361. J.P. Carrera, the name in concrete.
Your local Napa Auto Parts store, Court Street, Middlebury, has you covered with all the parts you'll ever need to get the job done right. Brad and the staff have parts for the car, the truck, the boat, and the 18-wheeler. Napa in Middlebury is fully stocked and they're open 7 days a week, Monday through Friday, 7:30 until 5, and weekends, 8 till noon. When it comes to trust, you can always trust Brad and the staff at your local Napa Auto Parts store, 13 Court Street in Middlebury.
Hi, this is John Wallace, graduate gemologist and owner of Autumn Gold in Middlebury, Vermont. Stop in and melt someone's heart. Whether you're looking for fine handcrafted jewelry, a rare gemstone, or an awesome diamond, come in and see what we have to offer. Meet our fun staff of very talented designers and goldsmiths. And remember, we do expert in-house repairs, restorations, and appraisals as well. Autumn Gold, the Earth's most beautiful gifts.
Celebrating 60 years in business, LaBerge equals insurance. LaBerge Insurance Agency has been helping you find the right insurance. Don't pay too much for the wrong coverage. LaBerge Insurance will get it right. Homeowners, renters, condo, auto, life, commercial, or farm insurance, call LaBerge at 388-2772. LaBerge Insurance Agency, locally owned and conveniently located at 1 Washington Street, Middlebury. LaBerge equals insurance.
Hi, this is Brett Smith, CEO of One Credit Union. At One, we not only provide personal financial solutions, we also provide commercial solutions. Yet, we're not a bank. We're a not-for-profit cooperative owned by you, our members. That makes us a very competitive, truly local resource for our business community. At One Credit Union, we're here to help our business members. Together, we're one.
Hi, this is Heather Cousineau from DJ's Enterprise and a proud member of One Credit Union since 1986. When we expanded our business to include kiln-dried firewood, we needed specialized machinery. We liked the idea of a local credit union that was right in our community and was willing to look at our unique circumstances and work with us. We quickly realized that One Credit Union would be a great partner, making our money work harder and smarter for us. I'm proud to be a One Credit Union member owner. Check them out at onecu.org. That's onecu.org. Together, we're one.
One Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA and an equal housing lender.
This is where the Middlebury Tigers play. 92.1 WBTK.
We are counting down to kickoff here on 92.1 WVTK here in week four of the regular season, homecoming week for the Middlebury Tigers. As we get set, the Tigers are getting set to take on the Essex Hornets, and Bruce is getting set to give us our starting lineup.
All right, thanks, Bjarke. The Middlebury offense, the tight end, the left tight end, number 89, junior Wyan Cameron. The left tackle, number 76, senior Jack Detman, the left guard. Number 78, junior Spencer Catterett, the center. Number 67, he's a senior, Yaro Pereira. The right guard, number 75, senior Brian Foote. The right tackle, number 53, senior Carter Leggett. And the right tight end, number 82, is a senior, Skylar Devlin. The quarterback, number 3, senior Cody Pominville. The left split end, number 37, senior Jack Donahue. The right split end, junior number 22, Zach Dunn. The halfbacks, left halfback, senior number 30, Lane Sheldrick. The right halfback, number 2, senior Paul Deering. And the fullback, number 36, senior Tyler Hutt.
So that is the offense for the Tigers. Many of those names, most of those names really, you'll hear the other way as Tigers tend to play both ways. And now for the defense of the Essex Hornets.
All right, Bjarke, the defensive starting lineup for the Essex Hornets. Linebacker, number 52, Alexei Rizvanov. He is a senior. At linebacker, number 5, Jack Carney, also a senior. The third linebacker, number 56, Samuel Kuchar. He is a senior linebacker. The defensive backs, number 3, Tyler Millett. He is a junior. The second defensive back, number 4, Grady Corkum. He is also a junior. The fourth defensive back, a senior, number 7, Jordan Hines. The fourth defensive back, number 9, Anthony Hope. He is a senior. Now for the defensive lineman, number 26, Brendan McCormick. He is a senior. The second defensive lineman, number 58, Keyshawn Peters, he is a junior. The third defensive lineman, number 75, Matt Russell, he is a junior. And the final defensive lineman, number 85, Colby Friend, he is a senior. And so the starting defensive line for the Essex Hornets.
And so that's the starting defense. And you'll get to know the offense over time, as we call them out tonight. But a couple people I'd like to point out is that Essex, as much as they are 0-3, and they have not scored many points this year, Essex is a team that is actually built to challenge the Tigers and some of the things the Tigers have been weak on so far this year, particularly because Essex is a team that likes to go to the pass and likes to have skill players get out into space, particularly Jordan Hines, who you heard mentioned as a defensive back there. Jordan Hines is a very experienced running back, number 7 for the Essex Hornets. That's a name we should call tonight. Jordan is talented and he is a danger. But also Tyler Millett, Grady Corkum are both wide receivers. Essex will look to spread the Tigers out a little bit and throw it around. That's something that has bedeviled the Tigers so far this year. And then quarterback Cam Quinn, this is his first year starting for the Essex Hornets. But, you know, has he in 3 games kind of developed some experience? What's going to happen here? Quarterbacks who can keep their head up, who can move and kind of take advantage of having a pocket held against the Tigers, have been successful so far this year. So will Cam Quinn, will the game slow down for him? It'll be interesting to see what happens. But like I said, Essex may have some pieces that could actually challenge the Tigers here. I don't think we could just throw the records out. I think it's going to be a very, very interesting night here for us to watch.
I think you're right, Bjarke. I think one of the things that's going to be a big factor in this game is, will the Tigers get pressure on a relatively inexperienced quarterback? We've seen how well the Tigers quarterback, Cody Pominville, has managed the team.
Absolutely.
We'll have to see if Cam Quinn can do the same for Essex, because something they've got to get going. They're 0-3. They've only scored 17 points, so at some point, you hope something starts to gel and they get things going.
Yeah, will they get that pressure? Will they be able to do that? And then on offense, the key to the game. So we say that pressure is going to be one key. The other thing we're really going to watch is, what are the Tigers' offensive sets? What are those play calls that they're going to work? Because, again, will they go with a conservative attack, which would be their usual method, or will they go with something where they air it out a little bit? They put the ball in Cody's hands and they say, throw it downfield, give yourself some opportunities. And it'll be really interesting to see that decision, but I personally think it needs to start with the person who we just saw run out on the field right now, number 36, fullback Tyler Hutt. Traditionally, the Tigers, out of that double wing set, they will run it up the middle with the fullback. They run it up the middle with the fullback. They bring, again and again, they bring that defense in, and then they start going left and right with the running backs. As they start doing that, you start out with sweeps. You start out powering to the right and left. Then you start with counters. It really is this development of a set of plays, and I really think it would be wise for the Tigers to go back to that. I don't think they've used Tyler Hutt enough going for the season. I bet the coaches would absolutely agree with me. I think we expect the first play of the game. I could be wrong. First play of the game into Tyler Hutt's belly.
Yeah, again, getting off to a good start is very, very important in this game. They've had some challenges on offense the last couple of weeks, and I think it's really, really important. I think it'll also set the tone for the game. We've talked about this before. The offense for the Tigers being able to get into a rhythm. It'd be nice if they score on a, you know, an 85-yard bomb, but it would also be nice to have a nice 6 or 7 minute play up the field, take time off the clock, and get everybody into a groove, including Tyler Hutt, and we'll see what they're able to do with that.
Yeah, real opportunity tonight here for the Tigers to get back on track and get themselves feeling good. It was a lot of good signs last week against the St. Johnsbury Hilltoppers. Shet's a tough and talented team. The Tigers can feel really good about what they did, but at the same time to flip that switch. And then, as we said, this is the way we're about to step aside, but just to reiterate, for the Essex Hornets, your season's 0-3. You go 0-4, you're gone. You're out of it. So for them, they really, really, really are going to want to get themselves going, in particular their offense going. They only have scored 17 points, I believe you had out there so far this year. So for them, you know, they're really going to need to get that going. The Tigers are almost exactly the same. Middlebury scored 63, and their opponents have scored 65. We're going to step aside for a moment. We'll be back for kickoff here on the homecoming night, 92.1 WVTK.
Lathrop Forest Products in Bristol specializes in logging and land clearing. Do you have trees blocking your view or have a large lot you need cleared for building? Lathrop's can clear that land for many uses, like scenic views, roads, and even pasture reclamation. And they can cover a large amount of land and get it done fast. With the 60 years experience, they can handle all of your forest clearing needs. Call Lathrop Forest Products in Bristol at 453-3606. That's 453-3606.
The finest furniture, housewares, home accessories, lighting, and bedding is at Woodware, a family-owned business located just south of Middlebury on Route 7. They carry brands known for quality. Flex Steel, sofas, sectionals, recliners, and accent furniture. Thor's Elegance, Vermont-crafted furniture. Beauty Rest mattresses. Hubbardton Forge, hand-forged lighting from Vermont. RH Lemure, fine hardwood dining room furniture. Oriental Weavers, area rugs, and Telescope casual outdoor furniture. Their top-quality furnishings and other items for your home are backed by a customer is always right guarantee. Plus, they deliver anywhere in Vermont and provide white glove delivery service anywhere in the country. It's all at Woodware on Route 7 South Middlebury, online at woodwarevt.com.
Here are just a few reasons why Vermont students choose Community College of Vermont.
Because I can get credit for what I know.
Because it's the least expensive college in Vermont.
Because I want to be a role model for my kids.
Because I want a career, not just a job.
Because I want diversity in the classroom.
Because I get one-on-one advising.
Because I wanted to go to school and work at the same time.
Because I want to avoid debt and stay close to family.
What's your reason? ccv.edu/register.
If it's Tiger football, it's on WVTK, Fort Henry, Ticonderoga, Middlebury, 92.1 WVTK. Now back to Tiger football on 92.1 WVTK.
And the MUHS chorus led as ever by Miss Liz LeBeau leaving the field here. Excellent job doing the Star Spangled Banner, a homecoming tradition here in Middlebury. It's week four here. Coming from Doc Collins Field, I am Bjarke Sears, along with my radio partner, Bruce Seaman. Very excited to bring you week four action, homecoming week action. The Middlebury Tigers, 1-3, facing off against the Essex Hornets, coming in, and sorry, Tigers are 1-2, facing off against the Essex Hornets, who are 0-3. Beautiful sliver of a moon up in the sky off to the west over a flock of geese flying slowly, going the wrong direction, it appears. Turn around. You've got to head south. That's all right. Just getting high up enough to get up into some wind there. And beautiful pink off in the distance. Some bear's tails down to the south for all you farmers out there. Looks like it's going to be a beautiful night for football. Looks like it's going to be a beautiful day tomorrow for all those homecoming activities. It's going to be Essex kicking off to the Middlebury Tigers first. Tigers usually don't like this. They like to take that ball second. I think their goal will be to be in such a position that they're not worried about whether they're getting it back after halftime or not. So that's going to be the plan. We have two people set up at the 10 waiting to return it. And we have a gang of Hornets ready to sting the Tigers. All right, it looks like it's Simon Fisher back there along with Tyler Buxton set up for the Tigers. Kickoff is going to be by number 9, Anthony Hope. Hope's got his hand in the air waiting for the whistle. There is the whistle. Ball set up on the 40, and it's up. Pretty decent little kick for Hope. It's going to come down. It's going to fall to Buxton's hands at the 16. He hands it off to Vinoe. He keeps it himself. Comes over to the left side. Big hole. Bashing up the middle. And he's going to stop at the 31. That's where the Tigers are going to take over. It's going to be first and 10 for the Tigers for the first offensive play, first offensive series of the night.
Yeah, and the Tigers start off this offensive series, Bjarke, with pretty good field position. The ball on the 30. And as you mentioned in the pregame show, we'll see what play selection they go with. See if they can get off to a fast start tonight against the Essex Hornets.
It'll be interesting to see what they come up with. It looks like they're going to have a double wing with two tight ends down. Actually, two tight ends standing. They're going to have Tyler Hutt set up behind Cody Pominville. That's what I anticipate the first move is, but it's Sheldrick in motion. And it's Pominville keeping to himself over on the right side. Maybe he should have handed off. He just gained 2 yards on that initial play. 2 yard run to the right for Cody Pominville. It is going to be second and 8 from the 33. I don't even think he quite picked up 2. And it is Pominville under center. He's got his 3 running backs, 2 tight ends left standing outside the tackles. Pominville under center calling it out. He takes it. This time it's going to be Pominville keeping it to the right. Manages to evade the one tackler. Manages to evade another. Plows up. It looks like it's going to be a first down for Cody Pominville. Some hard sledding, but able to make it work.
Yeah, Cody did a nice job there. He bounced off one of his own linemen, but he did a nice job keeping those legs moving. It looks like he got about 8 yards on that, Bjarke. The ball right now at the 41-yard line. First and 10 for the Tigers.
If they fell into any trap, I thought, week two against Hartford, it was that Cody started keeping the ball a little too much himself. A lot of carries that day, not many carries for the running backs. I think tonight it'd be good for the Tigers to diversify their offense. Cody under center, he's got his three running backs and 2 tight ends. He's got movement. It is Paul Deering from the right to the left. Cody's going to keep it himself, rolling back, looking downfield, far overthrowing his receiver. That was Wyatt Cameron coming over to the near side of the field. Wyatt Cameron has been a big play target for the Tigers so far this year. Three receptions, but 85 yards and two touchdowns on those receptions. So certainly every time he catches it, it's gone well. But for the Tigers, it's going to be second and 10 with the ball on the 41-yard line. 10:50 left to go in the first quarter. Score 0-0. Here comes Pavinville under center. This time he has three wide receivers. They're spacing him out. He's going to keep it himself, though, and try the left side, plowing forward. Three Hornets on top of him, able to gain 9 yards. They spread the defense out, but then ran it.
Yeah, Cody doing a nice job there again, getting the ball, making a nice fake, running to the left, and it looks like he picked up 8 yards on that, so it's third and two from the 49.
That's right. Now, right now, they have a chance to kind of open playbook here without many yards left to go. Hutt still has not carried the ball for the Tigers. Pominville under center, Hutt behind him, four wide receivers. Now it is Hutt time, and a nice big hole opened up on the right side of the line, and that's going to be a 6-yard gain for Tyler Hutt. The right side of the line has been featured so far this year. Brian Foote, Carter Leggett, and Yaro Pereira playing center have done an excellent job this year opening holes. Tigers seem to often prefer going to that side line. Certainly Lade Sheldrick coming over from his left halfback position has been able to do a lot of work there this year, and so has Cody, and certainly Tyler is able to there. First and 10 from the Hornet 45 for Pominville. Pominville just takes it up the middle, absolutely squeezes through. Nobody's behind him. He gets to the 30, the 20, the 10. He gets pushed out and down at the 5. That was an interesting play. It looked like Cody moved early a little bit, but because he moved early and nobody called it, the defense was absolutely not set or prepared for it. That was a 40-yard gain for Cody Pominville.
Nice job by the Tigers quarterback. Just he caught everybody by surprise.
I think he moved to the
he was just gone.
Yeah, I know. He certainly called it before anything else happened, but he's the one who initiates the play, so you're not going to hold that against him. Nice job there by Cody. He's been able to do that a lot this year. First and goal from the 5 for the Tigers. 9:42 left to go in the quarter. Cody has it. He's handed out to Paul Deering. Paul Deering looks like he's right at the line. Did he get in? Let's see. It looks like he did not. It's going to be second and short for the Tigers. Second and goal, very short.
Looks like the ball's on the 2.
The ball is on the 2-yard line. It's going to be second and goal from the 2. 9:18 left to go in the first quarter. 0-0, but the Tigers knocking on the door. Pominville under center. He's got his three running backs, one wide receiver out to the right. Pominville has it handed out to Lane Sheldrick, and that's a 2-yard touchdown for Lane Sheldrick. What a way for the Tigers to start.
What a way to manage the offense on that drive. The entire drive, Cody Pominville totally mastered. Is not only the offensive line, but the Hornets had just no answer for him in that drive. He was completely in control. Great drive by the Tigers. 6-0, 9:07 left to go in the first quarter.
59 yards rushing on that drive for Cody Pominville. And now it is Jack Donahue. I don't want to jinx it, but he's perfect on the year. And extra points. We'll see if he can get another one up. And he does. Continue it to perfect. It's 7-0 Tigers here at 92-1 WVTK.
It's the Jeep Celebration event at Foster Motors in Middlebury. For the month of September, Foster Motors will be offering supplier pricing for all. Buy any new in-stock 2017 or 2018 for the same price Chrysler supplier employees pay. Check out the stylish 2018 Jeep Cherokee or the all-new Jeep Compass. It's also Ram Power Days at Foster Motors. Great deals on 2017 Rams, including 1500 quad and crew cab trucks. Visit Foster Motors Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram on Route 7 in Middlebury. And remember, at Foster Motors...
Desabray Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat is located at 1232 Exchange Street, Middlebury. We offer wash, dry, fold, shirt service, bulk rate dry cleaning, wedding gowns, rugs, Uggs, bedding, and alterations. The laundromat's open 7 days a week, 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. For our customers, there's free Wi-Fi available, as well as a TV room. We have single-load washers, up to 60-pound washers, and 30-pound to 75-pound dryers. Desabray on Exchange Street in Middlebury.
High school football is on 92.1 WVTK.
And leading by 7-0, the Tigers just kicked off to the Essex Hornets after bobbling it out front. It went into the end zone. It's going to be a touchback. Essex is going to take over at the 20-yard line, and that's what they're going to get started, looking to get on the board. And, Bruce, that was pretty good work by the Tigers on that drive.
Well, that's one of the things that we said that they wanted to do in this game. They wanted to get off to a quick start, and again, they certainly did. It was a quick drive, though, only 2 minutes and 53 seconds. 8 plays, 69-yard drive, highlighted by Cody Pominville, just deking out the entire Hornets defensive line. A 40-yard run right through the middle. You couldn't ask for a better start to this one, Bjarke.
No, you really couldn't for the Tigers. Let's see how it goes on D. Right now it's Cam Quinn up under center, and they're going to try up the middle with a fullback power. Looks like it's going to be a 3-yard gain. Let's see who carried that ball for the Hornets. Looks like it was number 7. That was Jordan Hines with his first carry of the game. It looks like it was a stop by Cooper Bullock on that. Really not a lot of wiggle on Hines on that. Just plow forward, gain of 3. It's going to be 2nd down and 7 for the Essex Hornets, trailing 7-0. They're set up at the Tiger 23. Quinn is back in the shotgun. He's got one receiver to the left, one to the right, one coming across in front, and he hands it off to Tyler Millett, who tries to turn a corner outside of his left tackle and gets out a good gain of about 4 yards there. It's going to be 3rd down and short here for the Essex Hornets. Yaro Pereira on the tackle for the Tigers.
Yeah, the Hornets on that play doing a nice job running left and getting a couple of yards where it didn't look like there was going to be much, but he did a good job keeping those legs going. 3rd and 3 from the 27, 8 minutes left to play first quarter. Tigers up 7-0.
Here come Essex up to the line. They have Quinn back in the shotgun. Two receivers to the right, to the left, one to the right, and one of the receivers moves in front of him. But it's going to go to Hines up the middle. Absolutely stuffed at the line of scrimmage. No gain there for the veteran ball carrier for the Hornets. And right now it's going to have to be punting time here for the Hornets. Not much going there.
Yeah, Yaro Pereira on that play doing a nice job getting right into the grill of the Hornets offensive line and stopping everything. Nice play by the Tigers. And as you mentioned, the punting unit coming on, and the Tigers are going to get the ball back in relatively good field position here.
Yeah, I mean, considering where the returners are, you have Fisher and Buxton standing at about the 39 of their own side. So as they wait for this kick, nice looking punt here. It's flipping end over end. Fair caught, called for by Buxton. Tigers are going to take it over right at their own 45. Great ball position there for the Tigers.
Yeah, they're going to be starting close to midfield. And so again, we'll see what they're able to do with this one. Their last series of plays, 8 plays, 69 yards, touchdown. We'll see what Cody and his offense can do on this possession.
And really one thing that's set up nicely for them right now in terms of this game in particular is that they've been diverse enough that they that Essex is not going to be able to predict particularly what they've done. 4 different Tigers have carried the ball. They tried one pass for Pominville, although Pominville's going to try that quick rush again. It looks like fumble on the exchange between Pereira and Pominville, so that went down. It's going to be 2nd and 10 for the Tigers right now. And right now, with 6:50 left to go in the first quarter, it is the Middlebury Tigers leading the Essex Hornets by a score of 7-0 here on homecoming night here in Middlebury. A beautiful night for football. Stands fairly full here. Bobbinville under center. He's got 3 running backs, 2 standing tight ends, 1 on either side. Deering in motion from right to left, but it goes back to Sheldrick coming from left to the right. He gets whipped around behind the line of scrimmage, but stays up. A flag comes in. Right now it's a rugby scrum about 3 yards behind that line of scrimmage. We'll see what the call was, but right now that was a 3-yard loss for Lane Sheldrick.
6:22 left to play first quarter. The Tigers up by a touchdown. But on this series, though, the Hornets doing a nice job bottling the Tigers up. Nothing doing on that play there.
Yeah, certainly there. And then, of course, the fumble on the exchange setting them back to 3rd down. Middlebury Tiger football is brought to you by Autumn Gold Jewelry, featuring the Earth's most beautiful gifts. Autumn Gold on Main Street, downtown Middlebury, and at autumngoldjewelry.com. Tiger football is also brought to you in part by the National Bank of Middlebury, with locations in Middlebury, Bristol, Vergennes, Brandon, and Hinesburg, and online at nbvt.com. It looks like the Tigers are packing it up. It would have been a hold on that. So not only is it a... So that will be a 5-yard penalty coming back from where they brought Sheldrick down, yet it remains 2nd down. It's kind of interesting that they lose the yardage and then lose the next 5 yards, but it's going to be 2nd and almost 20 for the Tigers. I'm sorry, they didn't call against it. They made it 10 yards. So 2nd and 20 here for the Tigers. Bobbinville under center. He's got Sheldrick moving from left to the right, but he tries Hunt up the middle, and Hunt has a huge hole, and the big fullback just explodes, gets up into the secondary, gets close to the first down. We're going to give him 19 yards on that carry for Tyler Hutt. Keep feeding that guy. Get him in the groove. That's what I'm saying. Let's make it Tyler Hutt night on 92.1 WVTK.
Yeah, he just got the ball from Cody Bobbinville and just ran right to the left, ran up the middle. And as you mentioned, a pickup of just about 19 yards, first down and 10 from the 45.
Third and one, I think they're going to call it, but it's going to be first and 10 because it's Hunt plowing up the middle again. But no, the ball is loose. The ball is loose and came out. What are they going to call it? Ball goes over to the Hornets. So even though Hutt picks up a 6 yards, he also fumbles the ball, and it goes back to the Hornets. An opportunity for Essex here. Things were looking a little bleak to start out. What can they do with it? We'll see.
Yeah, and this is one of the turning points of the game. Again, miscue by the Tigers here. The Tigers threatening, really controlling most of the play so far this half. But now the Hornets have got the ball at the 39-yard line. Pretty good field position for them. We'll see what they're able to do with their offense.
If I was you, I'd get that. I can handle this. All right, Essex, back up to the line. You have Quinn in the shotgun. Two receivers left, one over to the right, and one fullback. Quinn drops back. He's looking to his left. He looks downfield. He's got a man wide open if he can do it. No! Just out of the outstretched arms at the 32. Certainly had a chance, but that ball faded towards the right sideline. A little too far for Grady Corkum to bring in, but boy did he have a jump. If that had been over to his left, he could have been off to the races.
Yeah, Quinn had plenty of time. He backed up and he let that go near the right sideline, and as you mentioned, Corkum did a nice job extending full, but it was just a little overthrown. Second and 10 from the 39, 5:33 left to go first quarter. Tigers up 7-0.
Second and 10 from the 39.
And with them coming up, second and 10 here, looking to get out in those passing situations here. They have two wide receivers, one tight end, and quarterback back in the shotgun with one running back. That's Hines behind him. This time the quarterback getting twisted around, but then tries to the left. Tigers doing an excellent job of stringing around. And then Tyler Buxton coming up from the defensive back position, absolutely throttling Cam Quinn for a loss of about 3 yards there. Maybe two, long two. Excellent job there by Tyler Buxton coming up and putting that thing to bed.
Yeah, he came in from the backfield, and he came up, and he just wrapped up Quinn and took him right to the ground. 2 yard loss. Nice play by the Tigers.
So far in two possessions, the Essex Hornets have totaled a grand total of 4 yards. Not going looking good for them right now. 4:56 left to go in this quarter. Middlebury Tigers leading 7-0. Coming up to the line is Quinn. He's actually back in the shotgun with one wide receiver to the right, two standing tight ends, one of whom goes in motion. And he is rolling back to his right. Quinn is looking downfield. Nobody coming open. He's being pursued by Devlin. Brought down here on the near sideline. And it was, Cameron with that tackle. We'll call it a tackle on the run, but still nice job there. Only 1 yard gain on that carry by Quinn. It's going to be fourth down. It's punting time again for the Hornets, who still have only scored 17 points so far this year.
Yeah, and on that play, Cameron came all the way across from the left side of the field to wrap up Quinn and take him down. Great defensive play by the Tigers.
Absolutely. Looking great tonight, and they're going to be punting away. And there are Buxton and Fisher waiting back at the 29, waiting for the punt. So far, the punter's done a nice job. Let's see if he does it again. Sure enough, nice punt, a little short of this time, kind of a spinning, wobbly thing. Lucky, though, to not have it hit at one of his old players. Going to bounce at the 35, roll back to the 33. Tigers are going to take over for the third time at the 33-yard line.
And Middlebury Tiger football on WVTK brought to you in part by LeBurge Insurance Agency Incorporated for all your insurance needs on Washington Street in Middlebury. And Napa Auto Parts on Court Street in Middlebury. They've got parts for the car, the truck, the boat, and even the 18-wheelers.
As we said, it's an exciting weekend here for Middlebury Tigers. It is homecoming week. In a couple minutes, we're going to give you a preview of what that means, all the different events that are coming up this weekend. Certainly, as much as we support Tiger football, we support all the activities here at Middlebury Union High School. Here's Bobbinville. He's got the ball. He's trying to the left side. Manages to avoid a tackler. Gets spun down, though. They've lost it again. Another fumble out of the Tigers. It was a 3 yard gain by Bobbinville, but then he put it on the ground. You've read a rolling over people. And right now, Essex is claiming they have the ball. Looks like the officials agree.
Yeah, Bobbinville went right up the center, and he got crushed by a couple of different players, and it looked like the ball came out. And so right now, anyway, it looks like the officials have placed the ball at the 39-yard line of the Tigers.
If you are Essex right now, you have to absolutely feel like now is your chance to do this. You have generated no offense, but right now you have incredible field position. Not close enough to kick anything, but good field position. If you're ever going to get something going early in this game, now is your moment. Three wide receivers over to the left. It's going to be a bubble screen out to that left side. Man, trying it. Absolutely stood up by Tyler Buxton. Boy, is he having a great beginning of this game. That's a 0 yard gain by Quinn on that pass.
No gain on the play, second and 10.
Yeah, the Tigers on that play doing a nice job keeping everybody in front of them, not giving up anything, Bjarke. And again, no gain on that play, second and 10 from the 39.
And here they come again. Quinn in that shotgun as he's used to with Hines behind him. One wide receiver off to the right, two tight ends. He's got a man in motion. It's coming to that man, trying the right side. Coming up and being tackled by Cooper Bullock up out it at the 36-yard line. The carry was by Millett. A little bit of a gain there, about a 4-yard gain or so.
Where it's going to be third and 7.
Well, we'll give him a 3-yard gain. And the Essex are now going to be looking at a third and about 7 is what they're going to be looking at here from the Tiger 36-yard line. They have Cam Quinn back in the shotgun. He's got three receivers, one in motion in front of him. And no, he's going to go back. He's going to look downfield. He's got a man open. Oh, overthrows him. Oh, my goodness. Grady Corkum could not have been any more open. And he absolutely just threw it behind him. So far, Cam Quinn has had some opportunities to take some shots. He has not been able to connect. It is going to be 4th and 7 for Essex. I would keep him right on the field, and that's what it looks like the Essex Hornets are going to do.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to be going for it here. And again, it'll be interesting to see if they can pick up those 7 yards. In this case, Bjarke, what I would want to do is I would certainly want to pick up the first down, but it's important to keep the Tigers' defense on the field right now because they've had two miscues, and this is where you really need to put something in the red zone.
Two wide receivers off to the left. They've got Grady Corkum here over to the right and Hines behind. And man, it is going to be Quinn rolling out to his right, looking downfield. He's got an open man. He threw it too high again, and I'll be able to get it absolutely picked off the bouncing ball by Cody Pominville, an interception. And the Tigers are going to get it back. Really, that was kind of like a punt in the long run, but the Tigers have it at about the 11. Interception for Cody Pominville.
Boy, turnovers have really been the talking point of this game, haven't they?
They sure have. And for Cody, who fumbled the ball on that play, almost fumbled, well, did fumble another one, but got it back on the exchange of the Yara Pereira before. Certainly that's good for Cody to feel like you're getting it back. Tigers is going to be 1st and 10 from the 12-yard line.
We've got 2:11 left to go in the first quarter. Tigers still up by a touchdown, 1st and 10 from their 12.
It's Pominville under center, one receiver off to the left, three running backs. He's got a man in motion. It's Deering. Pominville's going to keep it himself on the right side. Jordan Hines puts that to bed pretty quickly, though, as he comes across the line. It's going to be a gain of about 3 yards or so for Cody, maybe 4. It's going to be 2nd and about 6 for these Tigers. Cody so far has carried the ball 7 times. No other Tiger has carried more than 3. And Cody and the rest looking over to the sideline. It is 1:42 left to go in this quarter. Time flying by. Tigers ahead 7-0. Nothing. Cody under center, 2nd and 6 from his 14. Calling it out. He's got late Sheldrick in motion from the right to the left. They're going to try this near side. Looks like it's going to be Tyler Hutt trying that. And that's going to be a gain of about 5 for Hutt. It's going to be 3rd and relatively short for the Tigers.
And on that play, Hutt just running right up the middle. His offensive line giving him support. A couple of nice blocks there. And again,
3rd and 3 for the Middlebury Tigers.
So they're going to make it 3rd and 3 from the 19. Well, now it's 3rd and 2 from the 19, so we'll see if the Tigers can pick up the first down here.
Half yards are tough. Tigers are two tight ends. It's a pitch out to Sheldrick coming from the left to the right. Huge hole on that side. Absolutely accelerating past the linebackers. Defensive backs managed to catch up to him, but not until he gets out to the 42. That's a 23-yard pickup for Lade Sheldrick. Huge hole there opened up by the right side, and then Lade just absolutely explodes.
Yeah, nice job by Sheldrick running to the right, just putting on that speed. And going right at the right sideline. Nice job by the Tigers.
Lade Sheldrick, the J.P. Carrera Player of the Week last week, and really felt like they really started getting him going, and really what a revelation he was in that game against such a tough St. J. crew. And so here they are under center, first and 10. Palmanville handing it off the middle. Tyler Hunt plowing forward. Not much gain, though. Maybe only about a yard. As we're ticking down here, the Tigers have to feel good about this. Working their way up, it is going to be second and 9 from the 42.
Brisbane along the stop. Gain of 3.
And we have a man asking to come out here really quickly. That's going to be Carter Leggett, the right tackle, coming out. Josh Troutwine, I think, coming in for him. No, sorry, Riley Brown coming in at the right tackle for the Tigers. And looks like the Tigers are going to let it tick down to the end of the quarter. The Tigers are going to go into the second quarter on homecoming night, leading by a score of 7-0 over the Essex Hornets. You're listening to Friday Night Football on 92.1 WVTK.
The A. Johnson Company in Bristol has been a family-owned business since 1906. They supply woodworkers and do-it-yourself remodeling projects with locally and sustainably harvested timber. Visit their retail store and friendly staff on Route 116 in Bristol and see their wide selection of softwood and hardwood lumber, including paneling, flooring, and choose from planed or rough. The A. Johnson Company also sells kiln-dried firewood. Make the A. Johnson Company your one-stop for all your lumber needs or call 453-4884. That's 453-4884.
Hi, this is Mike McGrath from Mike's Auto. Here's just a few things we do. Brakes, shocks, struts, wheel bearings, mufflers, tune-ups, oil changes, head gaskets, front end alignments. What we don't do is Johnson rods, muffler bearings, or flux capacitors because they don't exist. So if your car skips, grinds, wanders, or sputters, give us a call. 388-4138 in Middlebury, 453-5563 in New Haven. Or just hit us on the web at mikesautomid.com. If we can't fix it, it ain't broke.
This is Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
4 and 5:30.
Well, that's a pretty imbalanced first quarter, Bruce. Right now, the Middlebury Tigers have 131 yards of offense in the first quarter. Essex Hornets, 8.
Well, the Tigers played a really good first quarter. Though they did have 2 fumbles, the Hornets had an interception that they lost. And so, again, the Tigers up by a touchdown, leading 7-0 as we await the beginning of the second quarter. And I think the Tigers have got to be happy to be in the lead.
They certainly do. With second, look at it, 2nd and 8 from their own 43. It is Palmerville taking it, hand it off to Sheldrick, trying the middle, actually trying the right side of the line, gets plowed back by a gang of Hornets, including big number 79. That is, let's get the number 75, Matthew Rizzo. Big man there. We were talking about a Rizzo before. It was Matt Rizzo out there doing business for the Hornets. That was actually a better gain than it looked like initially. That was about a 4-yard gain for Lane Sheldrick. Tigers are going to be looking at 3rd and 6 from their own 45, leading 7-0 with just a few ticks off the clock here in the second quarter. Palmanville under center, 3 wide receivers. It is Sheldrick in motion. Palmanville, however, rolling out to his right, getting towards the sideline. He's going to get tripped out of bounds. Nice work there by Colby Friend, really only allowing about 1 yard gain for Cody Palmanville.
Yeah, Friend on that play, Bjarke, doing a nice job chasing Palmanville towards the sideline. His receivers were all covered and held him to, I think, maybe a yard gain.
Cody had a great first quarter, though, 66 yards on 7 carries for the quarterback. He did have 1 fumble and 1 that he kind of lost on the exchange, but managed to get back. But as you said, good game management by Palmanville so far. But still for the Tigers, it is going to be, it's actually 4th and 6. They are going to punt it away here from their own 44. So Essex living dangerously but staying alive. And it is high. Cameron is going to take it. It is kind of a rough punt off Cameron's foot. It's going to go out of bounds at about the 35, 36, I'm thinking. 36.5-yard line. That's where the Hornets are going to take over. So far, the very unproductive Essex Hornets are still only trailing by 7 points.
Yeah, that was only about a 20-yard punt, but Cameron on that play did a nice job because the snap was not great. It was up. He had to go up and get that, which cost him a couple of seconds. Nice job to just get it off at all. And right now, the Hornets are going to be taking the ball on their 37. They haven't done much on offense, so we'll see what they're able to do. And as the Tigers can continue to keep them off the scoreboard.
Can Cam Quinn be accurate, though? He's had some chances, just has not been able to complete them. Quinn is back in the shotgun. He's going to hand it off to Jordan Hines. He really doesn't try to do much, but smash it up through the hole. And he is going to get about, oh, they called that maybe a little early from an Essex perspective in terms of push by the offensive line. We're going to give that about a five-yard gain for Jordan Hines.
10:49 left to play second quarter. Tigers up 7-0, and the Tigers doing a good job keeping the Hornets off the board. And Middlebury Tiger football on WVTK brought to you by Woodware, offering the finest furniture, housewares, and accessories on Route 7 South in Middlebury.
Quinn back in the shotgun. He's got three receivers, one running back. It's Hines over on that right side, brought down for a loss of two. And that tackle was made by Spencer Catterett. Nice play there by Catterett.
41, where it's going to be third.
It's going to be third and six here for the Hornets. One step forward, two steps forward, maybe one step back, but that's not enough steps to get you to a first down. Third and six from the Tigers, 41. So far, Essex has managed only 12 offensive yards in the game. And it is Quinn back in the shotgun. He has two wide receivers to the right, one to the left, and one running back. Quinn unleashing the ball, manages to get it to the first down marker. That's caught a little past the sticks by number
five, Jack Carney.
Five. We'll give it to five. All right.
Fernandez on the stop. Or excuse me, Donahue on the stop.
I think it's number nine, actually. We'll give it to Anthony Hope. A little catch for Anthony Hope. That's going to be a 7-yard catch. And the first completion of the night for Cam Quinn, but it could not have come at a better time for these Hornets. Almost at midfield, trailing 7-0, 9:30 left to go in the second quarter. And it is Quinn in the shotgun, one receiver to the right, two to the left. The receiver right comes left. They're going to throw it out on this side to number nine. He moves forward, he puts it on the ground, and the Tigers are going to have it. That is covered up by number 68, Camden Devlin. Devlin, the sophomore, getting that. And even though they were able to make a good pickup there, still of about 6 yards or so, it squirts out, and it is going to be Tiger ball.
Well, turnovers have been really the story of this game so far. That's the third fumble in this game. We've also had an interception, and 9:15 left to play in the second quarter. Tigers up 7-0. But again, a little sloppy on both teams so far.
For sure. And for the Tigers, you got to love this. It was looking, starting to give Essex a little life, but now they have it back. It is first and 10 from the 42. Oh, my goodness. Pompadour pops it up out of his hand. Looks like he was going to lose it. That's going to be a 9-yard loss for the Tigers, just absolutely squirting up out of the hands of Cody Pominville.
Yeah, that ball was right in his grill pretty quick. He did a nice job holding on to that at all, and then the Hornets were just right in there knocking him down. You're right, Bjarke. 9-yard loss on that play.
For the Tigers, still only two offensive touchdowns here in the last nine quarters plus. And it is Pominville coming under center with one receiver to the right, to the left, two tight ends, one on either side. And it is Lane Sheldrick trying the middle of the line, able to bust forward for a little bit. He is going to get almost back to the original line of scrimmage. It's going to be third and 11 from the 42. That was an 8-yard pickup for Sheldrick. And the Tigers right now, third and decently long. See if they go to the air here to pick it up. They are at the 42 on their own side of the field. They are leading 7-0 with 8:08 left to go in the quarter. Here comes Pominville under center. Two receivers to the left. Now it's three as one makes his way across, one to the right, and one the fullback behind him. Pominville loops back, throws it downfield, and I don't know if they're going to call that a catch. Let's see. Do they call it? Yeah, I have to say, it looked like the ground helped him catch it. That was number 22, Zach Dunn. The crowd is upset, but I have to say, that looked like a fair call.
Yeah, it was hard to tell from the angle that I have, but again, there was not really a lot of argument.
Yeah, no, they popped it up. And when it's that low, I was amazed it was close it was. Cody just kind of snapped his head off and threw it. It looked like it was going to be really low. But it was not able to complete there. Actually, we'll keep it right here. So here come the Tigers. They are going to punt it away on a 4th and 11. It's a good try, certainly, by the Tigers. Zach Dunn was able to get open, just could not complete it. And here comes the punt. Cameron, nice looking little punt there. He's going to bounce at the 30. KK Tiger bounce, get picked up at the 22. Great coverage over on that far side. That was TJ Gettleman, absolutely able to take the man down.
Middlebury Tiger football on WVTK, brought to you in part by Champlain Valley Properties of Middlebury. If you're looking for a new home, visit ChamplainValleyProperties.com and see the videos on their YouTube channel at Champlain Valley Properties VT.
And speaking of TJ Gettleman, today was the pep rally for homecoming week. It was fun. All the different groups, whether it's football team, whether it's Pride, which is going to be the Gay Straight Alliance, different things coming out and doing doing different activities. And TJ was quite a dancer out there today, which was fun. All right, and here comes Jordan Hines trying the left side of the line, able to plow forward. It's a gain of about 3 for the Essex Hornets. It's going to be 2nd and 7 here on the next snap.
Hines, the ball carrier, Detmer on the stop.
Game of four, according to the infield announcer. It's going to be 2nd and 6, 7:23 left to go in the quarter. They're on the 29-yard line of the Tigers. Hornets coming up to the line. They're going to have Quinn in the shotgun. Jordan Hines, the single set running back behind him. One tight end, two wide receivers, one on each side. Quinn gets it. He's going to look. It's going to be Hines trying the left. Hines runs directly into the man in front of him. Think that was Wyatt Cameron on that tackle. Hines needs to try to make someone miss there. He just ran right into him.
Ran right into him, and Cameron doing a nice job wrapping him up and not letting anything get started there. The Tigers doing a nice job really keeping the Hornets from getting anything going here.
Hines has 3 runs of positive yardage. He also has 3 runs of negative ones. The Tigers have managed to really bottle up this team. So far, there's been four runs by the Hornets in this quarter. All of them have been by Hines. It is Quinn back in the shotgun. He's got Hines behind him, a man in motion in front. Quinn's going to roll out to the right, looking downfield. He's got a man open if they're able to do it. And it's Cody Pompeyville, the second interception of the night. Gets to the 50, trying the near side at the 40, coming across the 35, running out of bounds at the 32-yard line. Cody Pompeyville making things happen for the Tigers. Tigers are going to have great field position here.
33.
Yeah, he had about a 18-yard return.
And Cody just stepped in front of the receiver, took that ball, and headed down the right side of the field. Tigers playing some pretty good defense in this one.
They sure are. And really, it's also a fact that Quinn just absolutely lopped that thing up there. He had a chance if he was able to get distance on it. Quinn's just right now, he's not really a thrower. He's kind of a sprayer. He's just out there kind of chucking it, and the Tigers are taking advantage. Pompeyville under center with 2 down, tight end, and 3 running backs. Here it goes to Hunt up the middle. He's going to get spun out. He's trying to keep going because his knee never went down. He gained about 3 yards on that carry to Tyler Hunt.
Just about 6 minutes left in the second quarter. 7-0 Tigers, but they are threatening. They've got the ball on the Hornets' 31-yard line, 2nd and 8.
39 yards on 6 carries on the night for Tyler Hunt. Tigers are looking over to the near sideline, seeing what their coaches give them. Coaches, of course, are Dennis Smith, John Newseder, and Jed Malcolm. And it is Cody Pompeyville under center, 3 wide receivers, 2 standing tight ends. Sorry, 3 running backs and 2 standing tight ends. Pompeyville keeping it on the right side, fakes the option, keeps it himself. He's going to gain about 2 maybe on that carry. It is going to be 3rd and 6.
And Keyshawn Peters for the Hornets doing a nice job wrapping up Pompeyville as he tried to fake left. Nothing doing there, so looks like they gave him 2 yards on that, so it'll be 3rd and 6 from the 31.
And for these Tigers, although tonight we hoped that the offense would explode, and maybe it would have it if not been for a couple of those turnovers, but so far for the Tigers, still not really clicking on all cylinders. Pompeyville coming up to the line. He's going to have some different options on this play, though. He's going to have 4 wide receivers. 3 on the right, 1 on the left. Pompeyville rolls back, looking to use those wide receivers. Throws it out to his man. Underthrows him, though. It went out towards Buxton. Well covered by Tyler Millett. And it is going to be 4th down for the Tigers. However, they're pretty well into Hornet field position, side of the field. So 4th and 6, I anticipate they will go for it here on this play.
And Middlebury Tiger football on WVTK brought to you in part by Countryside Carpet and Paint of Middlebury. Your one stop for flooring, paint, and window treatments. Stop in today and decorate the countryside way.
One thing we wondered about was how much the Tigers would throw and how much they would run. So far, they've only attempted 3 passes. Pompeyville, though, has 3 to the left, 1 to the right, and a ton. And oh, he's going to get wrapped up. Big loss there. It's all the way. That's going to be a 10-yard loss for the Tigers. And on the sack, as Pompeyville went to look downfield, and it is going to be Hornet ball. As much as they have not done much tonight, Essex Hornets, you have to say, are still in this game.
Well, they're hanging around, and number 42, Seth Carney, the sophomore linebacker, right through the Tiger line and just threw Pominville to the ground. That's a big play. The Tigers threatening. They've had them on the field a long time, and now they turn it over, the ball on the 39, and now we get to see if the Hornets can actually get something going, because they haven't done much.
And the danger here for the Tigers, right, is even though you've been dominating, even though you look good on the field, it only takes one big play. You've got Jordan Hines, you've got other people. With one big play, this could be an awfully tight game. Quinn's got the ball. Hines has a big hole, and here might be one of those plays. Hines going to the left side, but no. Tyler Buxton, it was a decent play, a six-yard pickup, but it could have been a lot more. Tyler Buxton has come to play tonight.
Yeah, he has really been utilizing his speed to get all over the field. Just really a great play coming all the way across and stopping him on the 46. So it looks like they're going to give him seven there. Second and three from the Hornet 46. We'll see what the Hornets are able to do here, if they're actually able to keep the ball and not give it away.
And Tigers have a new player in the defensive backfield. It is Derek Felkel in for Cody Pominville. And the Hornets are going to try to run it here, but they're going to get stopped up. Maybe a loss of one. And it is going to be third down and five, maybe a long four here for the Hornets.
Going to bring up a third and four with the ball on the 40.
It's going to be third and four.
And Middlebury Tiger football on WVTK, brought to you in part by County Tire Center on Seymour Street in Middlebury.
Hornets trailing 7-0, third and four from their own 45, with 3:27 left to go in the half. And it is a pitch over to the near side. The man's got some space. He's going to try that corner. Who else tackled him? Cody Pominville is back in the game, actually tackled him. It's going to be a fourth and two. Did we get the number on that ball carrier? I missed that.
I believe the carrier on that was number three.
It was number three, Tyler Millett. That makes sense, the way he came across. And so it is going to be fourth and four.
And a timeout has been taken on the field here. And I think this is really one of the critical points of the game. There's only 3 minutes left in the half. And Essex has really not gotten much going. They need to, this is an important play. If the Tigers can stop them, or if the Hornets are able to get a first down, it's going to be interesting to see what decision they make.
So I have to say, if I was the coach, and I am not a coach, I just play one on the radio, I would punt here. I would punt because you're on your side of the field. It's only 7-0. You've got 3 minutes left to go. Tigers have not been a dynamo offensively. If you can get them back in their position, yes, you're not going to score points, but you're not going to risk anything else. You go for this and you don't make it, now you're looking at 3 minutes for Tigers to go half the field and then go into the half up 14-0. I know you shouldn't play scared, but I don't know necessarily that this isn't a good spot to play conservatively. So I have to admit I would punt it away, but we'll see what their decision is. They also, they're 0-3. They might just feel like they need to get something going here.
Well, that's a good point. We'll have to see what they decide. Middlebury Tiger football on WVTK, brought to you in part by the Community College of Vermont, where high school students can earn free and transferable college credits at any of the college's 12 campuses or online at gotocollegevt.org.
Well, it looks like they are going to try to go for it, and strangely, for the first time all night, they've got Cam Quinn under center. They have not done that before. Quinn hasn't hands it to the fullback, and he is not going to get the first down. Fullback was stacked up there. It's probably Hines coming up out of the middle. No, it is going to be number 26, Brendan McCormick, with his first carry of the game. That is going to be a loss of, well, no, a gain of about one, but not enough. And the ball's going to go over to the Tigers. Tigers, with 2:56 left to go, are in a great position here. They're on the Hornet side of the field. The officials are going to call out the chain gang. I didn't even think it was close.
It didn't look like it was close, but I do have to say, it looks like the Hornets got a pretty favorable spot with that.
Yeah, I think we just heard somebody in the audience yell something about the spot as well, but it is short. It is, well, is it not short? This is a very interesting moment here. They gave them a first down. That's unbelievable. I have to say, I'm not, folks at home, I'm not trying to be a homer here. I'm actually trying to call the game as I see it. I would call it the other way if it went the other way. It looked like he was a yard and a half shy when he got brought down.
At least.
Yeah, no, this is remarkable. But that is what it officials see what they see. Maybe we missed something for sure. I certainly have to adjust my statistics here.
Well, you
instead
know,
of a one-yard run, it was more like a three-yard run.
Well, you know something, Bjarke? One of the things that happens during the course of a season, there's times where you're going to have bad things happen. You're
sure.
going to get adversity.
Of course.
This is one of those instances for the Tigers. We'll see how they react to this.
All right. Well, they've got life, the Essex Hornets do. Cam Quinn back in the shotgun. Two to the right, one to the left, and one running back is Jordan Hines. Hines is a pass protection. As Quinn just throws up a confusing throw, it's going to be second and 10. The confusing because it was to no one, apparently, over on the right side flat.
And Middlebury Tiger football on WVTK brought to you in part by Brandon RV on Route 7 in Pittsford. Let them keep you in the sun all year long with a quality RV and at prices lower than any other dealer in the U.S. or Canada. And Lathrop Forest Products with over 64 years of experience in the forests of Vermont. They have the skills and the capability to consistently harvest timber.
And here come the Essex Hornets up to the line. 2:26 left to go in the half, trailing 7-0 to the Tigers. They've got Quinn in the shotgun. They're going to end up with three wide receivers to the right because they have a man on a sweep. But Hines getting blown up in the backfield by Lane Sheldrick, and he's fighting with him. That's going to be a huge loss. Let's see. They're going to give it about a 10-yard or so. No, about an 8-yard loss there for the Tigers. Or for the Hornets, I should say. Lane Sheldrick with a great job.
Yeah, Sheldrick just right through there. I mean, right now it looks like the Hornets line has no answer for the pressures that the Tigers are putting on them. They are just through there. The last three plays, they've been almost in the backfield before the play has gotten started.
Absolutely, and for the Hornets, they really don't have many options because right now, and not to pick on a teenager, right? I mean, these are high schoolers, and you don't want to be too hard on them, but Cam Quinn looks like everything's moving just too fast for him. When he goes back to pass, he just looks like he's deciding where to throw it and just kind of chucking it. Very different than the quarterbacks we've seen the last couple weeks. So right now, it doesn't look like Quinn throwing is much of an option for the Hornets. It doesn't look like rushing is much of an option for the Hornets. Right now, the Essex Hornets really not doing much. Yet still, 2:15 left to go in the half. It's 7-0, Tigers. And here come the Hornets up to the line. They still have a chance here, but it is 3rd and 20, a rough spot to be. And they have Quinn back in the shotgun. Three wide receivers. Quinn dropping back. Sees a man off to that right side and just gets dropped, but then hit by a Tiger. Thank goodness the officials didn't decide to throw anything. It was through the hands of Tyler Millett.
You know, Bjarke, one of the things that you or that we've been talking about is Quinn's issues with the passing tonight, but he's had a couple of plays, three of them, where balls have been dropped. That if those are caught, we may be talking about a little bit different story. I'm not saying that the score would be different,
no,
but the statistics would be better, and maybe we would have had some more sustained drives, because he has had some dropped.
Well, you know, he has, to be fair to him, and you have to wonder, when you're 0-3, you know, you don't have a lot of confidence doing anything, and whether it's the receivers hearing footsteps, you're just kind of praying as the ball comes into their hands, hang on to this, hang on to this. When you're in that groove, when you're in that zone, everything kind of flows naturally. The ball's there, you pluck it out of the air, you go. But for right now, for the Hornets, there's no real sustained feeling at all. Looks like there was a
personal foul
penalty call on that play, probably after that throw over on the right side where it looked like a Tiger may have come in and hit a little late, maybe taken some umbrage by the Hornets. So the Hornets are kicking away. They're going to be punting from their own 26 now. They got backed way up. Tigers, they have Fisher and Buxton waiting for it out at the 40. Tigers are going to get great ball position with a little over two minutes left to go. Almost blocked there in the punt backfield. And it is Fisher caught over on that side. Tigers are going to get it one more time here this half from their own 44-yard line. It's going to be 1st and 10, 2:03 left to go in the quarter. Tigers leading 7-0. And so remember that it is homecoming weekend this weekend, and so we're excited to talk about that at halftime. Certainly we're excited for our own Dave Sears, a local legend and a 92.1 and other places announcer, The Voice, is going into the Hall of Fame. But we'll have a chance a little bit to talk about the other people as well. Randy Sabrin and Linda Andrews are also being invited and inducted into the Hall of Fame. It's Sheldrick with the pitch out over on this side. Nice job dodging to the hole. It's Fisher, right? Simon Fisher picking up 15 yards. Speedy running back getting right up the middle and flipping the field a little bit for the Tigers. His first carry of the night.
Yeah, Palmerville doing a nice job getting that ball to him because the Hornets had some pressure on that drive.
Tigers right now have it at the 42, first and 10, the 42 of the Hornets, and Palmerville has it. He's going to draw back. He's looking downfield. He has a man open out in the middle, just not enough to get any air under it. Fell about 7 yards shy. So right now, still no completions on the night for Cody Palmerville.
1:46 left to play in the half. The Tigers up 7-0 in a game that really the story is turnovers.
Turnovers and a few missed plays here and there, absolutely, no question. Fumbles on both sides, two interceptions thrown by the quarterback for Essex. And right now, Palmerville's back, he's dropping back. He's got on the far side. Jack Donahue getting driven out at the sticks. That's going to be a 10-yard gain for Donahue, the first completion on the night for Cody Palmerville.
And it'll be interesting to see here how the Tigers go to choose their plays, because this is a much different game in the second half. If this is 14-0 as opposed to 7-0, because as sloppy as it's been, you're still within one score. Two scores the way that the Hornets are playing, I think, may be a different story.
And with 1:40 left, there's no reason for the Tigers not to be aggressive to get in that sort of position. Right now, Palmerville's under center. He has a man off to the right. He's got one off to the left. He's got three running backs, and he's got a man jumping off sides. Zach Dunn does not have a lot of experience playing out here for the Tigers, and he just got a little excited on that play. That one's going to be walking back 10 yards for the Tigers.
First and 15.
So we've got 1:40 left to play in the half.
The ball now
first and 15 on the 33.
It's going to be a 5-yard penalty called there. That's
on
right.
38, excuse me.
38. So here they come. Here's Palmerville under center. He's got three running backs. He's got a couple wide receivers. Going to keep it himself. Tried that right side. Kind of throws it off on the fake. Nice job out to the middle. Gets slammed in the back there by Jack Carney. He went from the 38 to the 20. That's an 18-yard gain for Cody Palmerville.
And he did get hit pretty hard, but the only thing, he hit him hard enough to give him another 3 yards.
He did. That's a good point, right? Probably hoping to dislodge the ball. That's a tough position to do it from. First and 10 for the Tigers from their own 20. And it is Palmerville who has it. He hands it to Tyler Hutt, who kind of gets wringled up right at the line of scrimmage. Looks like he's coming up a little gingerly on that ankle. Timeout taken by the Tigers. 3-yard gain there by Hutt.
Yeah, so with 1:23 left, the Tigers are going to manage this, I think, conservatively, at least towards the end of the time. We'll see what they're able to do, whether they put it in the end zone via air or they run it.
They do have a couple receivers that can be dangerous. Wyatt Cameron has had a couple big plays this year for touchdowns. Certainly we know that Simon Fisher can get out there and do some damage. And we just saw Jack Donahue with a nice catch for the Tigers. So they have some diverse options to the Tigers. For the Hornets, you know, you've been out there. If you could just stop them right now from a Hornets perspective, this is going to make your half from the Tigers. Boy, a touchdown right now would be really, really nice. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, Middlebury Tiger football on WVTK brought to you in part by One Credit Union, your locally owned credit union on Green Street in Vergennes.
Interestingly enough, right now the Tigers do have a variety of options. They have three wide receivers. They have Simon Fisher in at running back along with Tyler Hutt. They have Palmerville rolling to the right, looking downfield, throwing across the middle. It is going to be Zach Dunn for a touchdown. That was an 11-yard touchdown from, an 18-yard touchdown from Cody Palmerville to Zach Dunn, his first touchdown of the year.
And Cody Palmerville on that play. Bjarke doing a nice job waiting for the receiver to get open, taking his time and just throwing.
Actually 13 yards, sorry. Yep.
And the Tigers now up 13-0.
That play was on the 13-yard line, so that's where they were able to do that. Really nice play there by the Tigers for sure. Zach Dunn certainly excited the way that went. And it is going to be Donahue in on the extra point. Donahue remains perfect. It's 14-0 for the Middlebury Tigers here at 92.1 WVTK.
Champlain Valley Properties, the voice of Addison County Real Estate, proudly supports the MUHS Tigers. They're at 70 Court Street in Middlebury. Stop by and see one of their agents, Nancy Foster, Robin Foster Cole, Diana Barthium, Mandy Daly Hodson, and John Snyder White. And they're all MUHS alumni or have students currently attending MUHS. At Champlain Valley Properties, they're ready and willing to assist you with all your real estate needs. Stop by and see them or check their webpage out at champlainvalleyproperty.com.
Look
under your feet. That's concrete. And whether it's at home, on the farm, or in the workplace, concrete makes up foundations, sidewalks, barnyards. There are lots of uses for concrete in Addison County, but there's only one place to get it. J.P. Carrera & Sons. Their state-of-the-art plant, modern fleet of red, white, and blue trucks, and experienced drivers ensure the quality and efficient delivery of your concrete, crushed gravel, wash sand, and stone. Route 116 Middlebury, 388-6361. J.P. Carrera, the name in concrete.
You're listening to MUHS Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
Tigers sitting at a 14-0 lead have just kicked off the ball to the Essex Hornets. Nice return there by Mann coming up the middle. He's going to get down at the 39-yard line, 40-yard line. I think that was Jordan Hines on the carry. And right now, with only a minute seven for the Hornets, they're going to look to get on the board for the first time. Tigers in control, 14-0, minute 7 left to go in the first half.
Well, the Hornets starting this drive with good field position. The question is, are they going to run out of time before they're able to get it in the red zone or in the end zone?
Well, can they complete something through the air? I think that's going to be the question here for the Essex Hornets. Certainly they're going to try. They're going to have Cam Quinn back in the shotgun. Three wide receivers to the left, one running back. That's Hines in the backfield. Quinn has it rolling out to his left, being pursued by some Tigers. Has a man open. That is going to be an interception at the 45-yard line. Intercepted by number 82. That is going to be Skylar Devlin with the interception. Things start getting any better for the Essex Hornets.
Well, and here's the other issue with this, Bjarke. Right now, there's a minute left, and the Tigers are already in Hornet territory. And with a minute left, believe it or not, that is a lot of time to put that ball in the end zone.
How did I lose my other piece of paper, Bruce? This isn't looking good. All right. Wow. Maybe it flew away. And here comes Cody Pominville rolling out to his left. Tigers with a little bit of time. He's going to try the left side. Nice little scurry there. It's going to be a 7-yard gain, about maybe 6-yard gain for Cody Pominville. And Tigers are going to be looking at second and about 4 here. As they come up to the line, Pominville under center. He's got his three running backs, two wide receivers this time. Pominville has it. He's going to keep it himself. Look to the left side. Kind of flips it out to a man on the far side. First down and more. Scrambling up the side. Must be Fisher with that speed. Sure enough, it is. He's going to get down. He's going to get from the 40 down to the 24. That was a nice 16-yard gain on that pass and catch. And all of a sudden, Cody's come alive a little bit through the air.
He's come alive, and they're using a hurry-up offense that right now the Hornets don't have an answer for.
I have an answer. Sorry. As Dave Sears used to say, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. If you could see me losing stuff back here, fans, you would just laugh to yourself. All right. Second and 11 for the Tigers. 26 seconds left to go in this half. Going to look to see what they can do through the air, most likely. Pominville is up to the line. He's got Buxton in at wide receiver. He's got Dunn in on the wide receiver. He's got Fisher in the backfield. He's got a lot of speed on the field right now to the Tigers. And it is Cody. He's going to look to use that speed. He's going to flip it out over on this near side. He's giving it to Buxton, who tries a hole. A little nice little gain there on the pitch and catch. That's going to be about a 7-yard gain or so. 9-yard gain, actually, we'll give him. First catch of the night for Tyler Buxton, who's had a nice game defensively.
Yeah, he certainly has, and the Tigers taking a timeout. 18.3 seconds left to play in the first half. They're up 14-0 and definitely threatening here. And again, this is a much different game going into the second half. 14-0 as opposed to something greater, because Essex has not played well this half.
No, they really haven't. And right now for the Tigers, looking at second and about 2 with 18 seconds left, even if they're not able to convert this, Jack Donahue's done a nice job this year. I see no reason why not to give him a chance to let him come out and try a long field goal and see what you got. But either way, Tigers have to feel good about the way this game has swung in really only about the last 2.5 minutes or so. Here they come up to the line. It's going to be second and 2. Pominville has the whole playbook to work from here. He's got Donahue over on that far sideline by himself, a wide receiver. All the officials are calling something here. Now are they going to decide for a measurement? It'll be interesting to see.
Well, Middlebury Tiger football on WVTK brought to you in part by Foster Motors, home of the We Care People on Route 7 South in Middlebury, and Vermont Field Sports for all your sport and hunting needs. They've got a great selection of new and used guns on Route 7 South in Middlebury.
Sorry, it's third and two for the Tigers with Palmanville under center, two to the right, and it's Palmanville who's going to look to use the right. He's going to get tracked down, however, behind. The ball came out, squirted out of bounds, but not at before it went out of bounds, so no damage to the Tigers. However, it is going to be fourth and about the same for the Tigers. No gain on that one, but Cody just avoids a mishap. That is the third time Cody's put it on the ground, and he has it. He rolls back. Now he does put it on the ground. Just loses it.
Time runs off
the clock, but that was just a messy play in all regards there. But for the Tigers, they live to be ahead 14-0 here. Tigers over the Essex Hornets in a crazy game here on 92.1 WVTK.
For just what you need to get your projects done right, shop Martin's True Value Hardware and Radio Shack. Hi, I'm Kathleen Clark.
Set, fly, ready, fly, ready.
It's fun to watch these football games. Oh, what does that mean? The striped guy has his two arms up in the air.
It means it's good for the Tigers. Looks like they're headed for another win. Keep up the winning tradition, Tigers.
For all your fall needs, shop Martin's Hardware in Bristol and Middlebury. Behind every project is a true value.
National Bank of Middlebury is there for you 24/7. Buying a home, sending your kids to college, or starting a new business? They're here to make it happen, helping families and businesses achieve their dreams since 1831. With offices in Middlebury, Brandon, Bristol, Hinesburg, and Virgins, or online at nbmvt.com, or on your mobile phone, anytime, anywhere. Bank real, live real. National Bank of Middlebury. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender. Equal opportunity employer.
Monument Farms in Weybridge is 100% authentic and part of Vermont's heritage. They literally do it all, from growing their own corn, raising the cows, feeding and milking them, then processing and distributing the milk. You can find their great local products in many area stores if you live locally. Please stop by their popular dairy store Monday through Fridays. Monument Farms, landmark quality from the heart of Vermont in Weybridge.
This is Maureen Conrad, Director of Development with Addison County Home Health and Hospice. For almost 50 years, we've been helping Addison County residents by providing high-quality, comprehensive community home health and hospice care. For all stages of life, we're here to help. At Addison County Home Health and Hospice, we provide more than services for elderly people. Our goal is to keep everyone in their homes and part of the community. We're your friends and neighbors, and we know how important that is because we live here too. Did you know we offer skilled nursing and palliative care? There's also maternal child health programs, high-tech nursing, rehabilitative therapies, including physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech therapy. We even offer social work services, free foot clinics, and flu vaccine clinics. Surprised at all we do? I thought so. To learn more about Addison County Home Health and Hospice and our services, please call us at 802-388-7259 or visit acHHH.org. Addison County Home Health and Hospice, proudly serving the community in all life stages since 1968.
McIntyre Services, with two locations, has been serving Addison County residents for over 70 years. They sell home heating fuel, diesel fuel, and gasoline at 213 Exchange Street and at 49 Court Street, both in Middlebury. At McIntyre Services, Sunoco is their brand, and they encourage you to apply for the Sunoco Rewards Card, where you can save 5 cents on every gallon of gas or diesel right at the pump. McIntyre Services in Middlebury, making friends warm for over 70 years.
Hi, this is Brett Smith, CEO of One Credit Union. At One, we not only provide personal financial solutions, we also provide commercial solutions. Yet, we're not a bank. We're a not-for-profit cooperative owned by you, our members. That makes us a very competitive, truly local resource for our business community. At One Credit Union, we're here to help our business members. Together, we're one.
Hi, this is Heather Cousineau from DJ's Enterprise and a proud member of One Credit Union since 1986. When we expanded our business to include kiln-dried firewood, we needed specialized machinery. We liked the idea of a local credit union that was right in our community and was willing to look at our unique circumstances and work with us. We quickly realized that One Credit Union would be a great partner, making our money work harder and smarter for us. I'm proud to be a One Credit Union member owner. Check them out at onecu.org. That's onecu.org. Together, we're one.
One Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA and an equal housing lender.
If it's Tiger football, it's on WVTK, Port Henry, Ticonderoga, Middlebury, 92.1 WVTK. Now back to the field for more Tiger football on 92.1 WVTK.
And it's halftime here at Homecoming Night, week four of the regular season here on 92.1 WVTK. You're listening to the Middlebury Tigers take on the Essex Hornets. And at Doc Collins Field in Middlebury, right now we have members of the 1967 and 1968 Middlebury Tiger football team out on the field being honored. We also have representatives from a variety of people related to the Hall of Fame inductees, the Hall of Fame inductees, which we'll talk about later, Linda Andrews, Dave Sears, and Randy Sabrin. But for right now, a little recap of what happened here in the first half. Bruce?
It was a great honor.
Well, Bjarke, the game started off a game that we thought was going to be a little bit higher scoring than we'd seen in the last couple of weeks, and that's exactly what had happened. The Tigers got on the board first with an 8-play, 69-yard drive that took 2 minutes and 53 seconds, highlighted by Cody Pominville just deking out everybody, including, to be honest, probably the officials. He with a 40-yard run that went all the way down to about the 5-yard line, and they then punched it in to make it 7-0. Jack Donahue's kick, perfect again. He remains perfect on the season, 7-0 in favor of the Tigers. And then on their second drive, Cody Pominville with a 13-yard touchdown pass to Zach Dunn. Jack Donahue again perfect, 14-0 Tigers at the end of the first half. But in my mind anyway, the big story in this game so far has been the turnovers. There's been turnovers, there's been interceptions, there's been fumbles. Kind of sloppy. And honestly, in my mind, the Hornets are lucky to be down only 14 points. This could be much worse.
They are, but what a crazy game. We have two losses on on fumbles by the Tigers. We had a couple more plays that could have been losses by the Tigers. At the same time, on the other way, we have two interceptions by Cody Pominville of the other team. Yeah. So our quarterback getting the ball back, including on one drive where he had lost the ball before, so he was able to get that back. So just an absolutely crazy half. And really, for the story so far for the Essex Hornets, has just been an absolute lack of offensive productivity. These numbers are easy to keep track of, so I feel like these are confident. They have 16 yards on the ground rushing, 8 in the first quarter, 8 in the second. They have 13 yards through the air. No joke, that adds up to 29 total yards for the Essex Hornets. On the other side for Middlebury, right now, Cody Pominville well out distancing the Hornets, 86 yards rushing Cody has. He also has 33 yards through the air. The long receiver so far tonight has been Zach Dunn on an 18-yard reception. The longest run tonight has been done by Cody with 40 yards on one run, but Lane Sheldrick has contributed so far with 37 yards rushing. Neither team is an offensive dynamo. Neither one's a house of fire, but for the Tigers, you're doing what you need to do.
Yeah, and again, when you have a team that's having issues, as you just mentioned, whether it's the passing or the running, Essex not really doing much, but again, they're letting them hang around, and there's been some turnovers, there's been interceptions. It's a little bit different being up two touchdowns as opposed to only one, and I was a little bit worried about that because, again, you're one interception or one passed ball away from having a tie game.
Sure.
And then as Essex saw last week, anything can happen in overtime.
Anything certainly could, and we'll see what happens as we roll along, but we're going to step aside for a moment. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about homecoming weekend here in Middlebury. You're listening to Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
You already know County Tire Center is the place to go when it's time to retire your tires. But County Tire Center is so much more than tires. You're under the car care specialist. Everything from regular maintenance to inspections, repairs, and shocks. We're even a qualified hybrid shop. Plus, our shuttle service is always available, so you're never stranded. County Tire Center, with great tire brands like Firestone, Bridgestone, and Nokian. On Seymour Street, across from Fire and Ice in Middlebury, and at County Tire Center.
celebrating 60 years in business, LaBerge equals insurance. LaBerge Insurance Agency has been helping you find the right insurance. Don't pay too much for the wrong coverage. LaBerge Insurance will get it right. Homeowners, renters, condo, auto, life, commercial, or farm insurance, call LaBerge at 388-2772. LaBerge Insurance Agency, locally owned and conveniently located at 1 Washington Street, Middlebury. LaBerge equals insurance.
This year, have you been dreaming about staying in the warm weather for the winter? You can make your dreams come true at Brandon Auto and RV, Route 7 in Pittsford. Scott has any camper or RV you're looking for, and from famous names like Falcon, Gulfstream, and Travelite. And for the family that loves to get away, pick out your new or used camper early, because at Brandon Auto and RV, they've got the lowest prices in the U.S. and Canada. See them on Facebook and at BrandonRVVT.com.
Offering the finest furniture, housewares, home accessories, lighting, and bedding, Woodware is a family-owned business located just south of Middlebury on Route 7. Their family provides friendly, knowledgeable, no-pressure assistance in a laid-back atmosphere with name brands you know for quality. When you call or stop in, you're dealing with one of the owners, so you're in good hands at Woodware. Their top-quality furnishings and other items for your home are backed by a customer's always-right guaranteed. Plus, they deliver anywhere in Vermont and provide white-glove delivery service anywhere in the country. Woodware Fine Furniture, Route 7 South in Middlebury.
Monument Farms in Weybridge is 100% authentic and part of Vermont's heritage. They literally do it all, from growing their own corn, raising the cows, feeding and milking them, then processing and distributing the milk. You can find their great local products in many area stores if you live locally. Please stop by their popular dairy store Monday through Fridays. Monument Farms, landmark quality from the heart of Vermont in Weybridge.
This is Middlebury Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
And we're back, rolling along through halftime. A little bit of extended halftime tonight because it is homecoming weekend here in Middlebury, and a lot of excitement coming on. I just want to tell you a little bit of what's coming on the schedule before we talk about the MHS and MUHS Hall of Fame induction, which we are watching right now. Tonight, of course, the Middlebury Tigers taking on Essex, as you're listening to right now. Earlier today, girls soccer, which is having a successful year, took on one of their rivals, the Eagles of Mount Abraham, here at home. And then tomorrow, there's a full slate that you should be aware of. At 10 a.m., boys soccer taking on the Eagles of Mount Abe at home. All of these are going to be at home. At 10 as well, girls varsity field hockey is going to be taking on Mount Mansfield, taking on the Cougars here at Jetty Field. At 4 p.m., the doors will open for a meet and greet for the Alumni Association meeting, which will be at 5:30, and then the alumni banquet will be at 6 p.m. at the American Legion in Middlebury. Again, that's going to be at the American Legion. If you looked at the Independent this week, it says the VFW. That was a typo. So if you're looking to go out to the alumni banquet, that is going to be at the American Legion. At 7 p.m., there will be a Hall of presentation of new inductees, and that's where we want to spend a couple minutes here, if we can, to talk about a couple of those inductees, because certainly they're important, and one of them is very, very near and dear to our hearts. Inductees this year: Linda Andrews. Linda Andrews was a ski racer for the Tigers. She also was a great student. She won the Dory Cup, which, if you follow how Middlebury works, is the top award you can win as a student athlete, and you earned that during your junior year as a combination of being both an exceptional student and exceptional athlete. She ended up working as 34 years as a women's healthcare nurse practitioner and reproduction health integration specialist, and ended up working for 26 years, check this out, Bruce, working in Tanzania, Uganda, Malawi, Central Asian Republics, Bangladesh, Somalia, and Thailand, as well as Nigeria, India, and Rwanda, working to establish support programs for HIV-positive women and other treatments, established programs to screen for and treat cervical cancer in rural and poor communities. Truly a not just a citizen near the area, but a citizen of the world was Linda Andrews. Another Hall of Fame inductee, Randy Sabrin. Randy Sabrin was a two-time state champion wrestler, earning a Most Outstanding Wrestler Award as a senior. Played football for 4 years, including his championship team. As we mentioned before, he played Danny Zuko in Greece his senior year. went to Morrisville State College and qualified for the Junior College Nationals. And then at Cortland State, won a SUNYAC championship and qualified for the NCAA tournament. He was an All-New York College All-Star recognition in 1987. He became a successful business owner. And his business has for the past 4 years in a row been chosen as Central New York's best place to work, Metro Fitness. So certainly a great contributor to his communities there. And then finally, the person I want to spend a couple minutes on, because he's so near and dear to us here at 92.1 WVTK, of course, the voice, the one and only Dave Sears. Wonderful. Right now, just at this moment, his daughters, Alex and Megan, are out kind of receiving the commendation because Dave unfortunately passed away a few years ago on July 11, 2015. He did pass away, but I think instead of remembering for that, everybody remembers him for really the energy that he brought into life. I know somebody you worked with, so the person who brought me into this job, I was his color commentator for a few years. Certainly, he taught me the ropes, and I love him dearly and always will. Just a couple thoughts about Dave.
You know, it was very, very hard for me to agree to come and do Tiger football. I love football, and I love sports, but this was Dave's thing.
Sure.
And listening to him, you realize what you need to aspire to. The greatness that he had, the love for not only Middlebury Union High School, but also for the students here. He loved these kids. That was in his voice. He could tell a great story. And you know something, Bjarke? You have that same skill set. That's not something you can teach. You love these kids. You love the game. That comes out when you're on the radio. This is not an easy thing to do. Anybody can learn how to read stats or read numbers. But to go out there and hear the genuine joy in his voice when Middlebury scored a touchdown, or talking about Middlebury Tiger football with the late Dick Bullock, who also was a legend in this. And so while I'm certainly honored to be doing the games with you, It's a little bit sad for me because I miss Dave tremendously, but what an honor for him being inducted, and nobody I can think that deserves it more than him.
Absolutely. Of course, not only was he a long-term announcer, of course, earning his moniker, The Voice, not only here, but over at the on the radio for the Panthers, working in various Panther venues. I think about being at lacrosse games, women's lacrosse games, hockey games, things like that, and all the time he put into that. Just how much joy he had in those experiences, but also even things like subbing at the middle school and the high school. People would just see him coming, hear this voice in the hallway, and he's walking along, and he's got those cargo shorts, and he's got that jacket he'd wear and his hat, and you're just like, man, that's Dave, you know? And just an amazing guy, just such an amazing character, and as you say, in terms of, you know, you never replace somebody, you just try to fill the shoes, and to come in and first do color, right, with Dick Bullock in his last year, and then with Dave, and kind of sliding over, and you're just like, wow, you know, these people are just amazing, and just all the time, whenever I'd be out with Dave. The funniest thing to be with Dave, and we'll step aside in a moment, but I just want to say, Dave would play-by-play everything. So we'd be driving along in a car, and he'd be like, here comes a car coming the other way. Oh, they're driving like it's, you know, here we are out on the super speedway. You know, to get past, I mean, everything was a commentary. Everything was a play-by-play. If somebody walked into the press box, he'd be like, it's Bruce Seaman, as though he's announcing it to everybody. World, and he would just do that as he went through life, and just brought so much joy to everyone, and certainly so much appreciation in our hearts for and love for Dave Sears. And Dave, to be fair, was also someone who did like some accolades. Dave liked to be recognized, and I mean that in the best possible way. And if Sue's listening tonight, or anybody else is listening tonight who knew Dave well, and by Sue I mean his wife Sue Sears, of course, you know, they know what I mean. Is that, you know, he's such a gregarious guy. He loved that give and take, and I think for Dave, you know, Dave, you can hear this. You know, you were honored tonight. Everybody remembered you. Wonderful to see your daughters doing so well out there on the field, Megan and Alex. And just a special night, I think, for everyone at 92.1 WVTK.
You know, having done sports for the radio station for a long time, he was a great announcer. He was a great sports broadcaster. But he was an even better person. And when I went to his memorial service, it was one of the worst days of my life. I remember getting the call when he passed.
Yep.
I remember being as upset as I was, but I will say this, and it would bring a smile to his face. If Dave was looking down and he saw his memorial service, that guy would have had a smile from ear to ear when he saw how many people loved him. And that's the only thing that made me feel better about that, because people recognize him for the greatness. He was and still remains a great person and a great broadcaster.
Absolutely. Well, it's Dave Sears' night here on 92.1 WVTK. 92.1 WBTK. We'll step aside for a moment. We'll be back for the kickoff for the second half. You're listening to Tiger Football on 92.1 WBTK, Port Henry.
Make sure your bow is tuned up and ready for the hunt. Stop in to Vermont Field Sports and have Tim tune your bow for that shot you've been scouting for. And don't forget to check out the new PSE and Parker bows and crossbows. You've been waiting all year for this one chance at the perfect shot. Don't miss out. With 30 years' experience, the staff at Vermont Field Sports can answer all of your questions. Vermont Field Sports, located at 1458 Route 7 South in Middlebury. Or find us on Facebook at Vermont Field Sports.
When making home improvements, consider your options carefully.
Excuse me? Hello? I'm looking for bathroom tile.
Hi.
Oh, finally. I'm looking for bathroom tile.
Well, you're in the plumbing department, so...
So you can't help me?
No.
Countryside Carpet and Paint is your hometown experts in paint, flooring, tile, and hardwood. Their advice is genuine, and they truly care about how your project comes together. Countryside Carpet and Paint in Middlebury.
Decorate the countryside away.
Hi, this is John Wallace, graduate gemologist and owner of Autumn Gold in Middlebury, Vermont. Stop in and melt someone's heart. Whether you're looking for fine handcrafted jewelry, a rare gemstone, or an awesome diamond, come in and see what we have to offer. Meet our fun staff of very talented designers and goldsmiths. And remember, we do expert in-house repairs, restorations, and appraisals as well. Autumn Gold, the Earth's most beautiful gifts.
This is Mike McGrath from Mike's Auto. Here's just a few things we do. Brakes, shocks, struts, wheel bearings, mufflers, tune-ups, oil changes, head gaskets, front-end alignments. What we don't do is Johnson rods, muffler bearings, or flux capacitors because they don't exist. So if your car skips, grinds, wanders, or sputters, give us a call. 388-4138 in Middlebury, 453-5563 in New Haven. Or just hit us on the web at mikesautomid.com. If we can't fix it, it ain't broke.
This is where the Middlebury Tigers play. 92.1 WBTK.
Got diversity here. We couldn't time that any better, folks. We're back for kickoff here in the second half on 92.1 WBTK. And here we go. It is the Tigers kicking it off to the Hornets from the 40. It's going to bounce over, and it is going to go out of bounds. That's going to hurt the Tigers a little bit. The Hornets are going to be taking it from decent field position here to start the second half. Bruce, what do you expect to see? What do you expect to talk about here?
Well, a couple of things. At halftime, I think the Tigers probably discussed the things that they could tighten up on. I mean, obviously, we had some interceptions and some fumbles. But for the Hornets, they have got to get something going here. They've got to have some form of passing, some form of offensive attack. The Tigers have been doing a great job getting in their backfield. They have really been able to get nothing. But the problem is that the longer you let the situation where you have no offense go, the further away. This game could get away from them very, very quickly if they don't get something going. If it were me, I would want to put some points on this board right now. And it looks like there was a penalty on
that. So the penalty was that it rolled out of bounds. So you could elect to either have good field position or make the Tigers kick off from farther back. It's only a 5-yard difference, and they've been kicking well. So Tigers are kicking off again, this time from the 35 going out to the Hornets. And it is going to be a approach by the kicker. He's going to have it up. And that kick was by Finn Fernandez. It's going to get caught at about the 25. It's about the 30. Got to the 40. Now to the 43 or so. It's going to be the Hornets taking it over. We're going to call it about the 42-yard line to start the second half for the Essex Hornets. And the time, just so you know, at halftime, we've been told that the Rutland Raiders are leading the Hartford Hurricanes by a score of 27-16. But keep in mind, the Tigers are going to be playing Rutland down in Rutland next week. So that stacks up as a pretty tough game if they're ahead of Hartford. So for the Tigers, we'll be paying attention to that. Pay attention to your Friday Night Football frenzy here. Pay attention to see what happens. And it is going to be Cam Quinn back in the shotgun. He's got two receivers to the left, one to the right. One of his men flinched, though. So they should really be calling this dead, but they won't. And they're going to let somebody get hammered for no reason. It's going to end up being a loss of yardage for the Hornets. 11:43 left to go in the second half. Tigers are leading 14-0.
Motion to call against the Hornets.
Motion against the Hornets. It is going to be 2nd and 15.
And Middlebury Tiger football on WVTK, brought to you in part by McIntyre Services of Middlebury on Court Street and Exchange Street. McIntyre Services, keeping friends warm for over 70 years.
And we're going to need that here soon. Doesn't feel like it tonight, but it's around the corner more than we think. I think the meteorologists are predicting a warm end to the month, but then it's going to be October, and then things change. All right, here they come up to the line of scrimmage. You have Cam Quinn back in the shotgun. Two out to the left, one to the right, one running back, Jordan Hines, in the backfield. And it is going to be a handoff up the middle. That's not going to Hines, actually. I take that back. Carried by Jack Carney, getting in there and get some work. He got more work last year than he's getting right now, but a carry for about gets about
3rd and 11 with the ball on the
one, but it gets about 4 back. It's going to be 3rd and 11 with the ball on the 41.5 of the Essex Hornets. Right now, Essex isn't making anything happen. They only got 29 yards in the first half. They've gotten negative yardage so far right now. And right now is rolling out to his right and pass over to his left, and Quinn, wide open receiver, unable to complete anything. So that was a nothing there. 4th and 11 here for the Hornets. Any hope they had of coming out and making something different? Just Cam Quinn's really not able to complete anything. So far he only has 13 yards through the air. He has an interception. He has 8 attempts. 9 attempts. So 9 attempts, he's averaging less than 2 yards per pass. He has an interception. He has missed numerous receivers. As you point out, he has also had a few receivers make some drops. It is going to be a punt for Essex from the 42, and it is going to go down high, but not particularly deep. It's going to bounce at the 36 off of Tiger, and then ends up with an Essex Hornet hand. You could not hope it any better for the Hornets. Huge pickup. It's going to be Hornet ball at the 33, just bounced off of Tiger. The number one thing you need to do when your team is returning the ball is make sure it doesn't bounce off you. Be aware of the ball is. The Tigers, a big mistake there. Don't know if the Hornets can capitalize on it, but a big mistake.
Well, right now, a critical point in the game, this is probably the best field position that the Hornets have had, the best situation. They've got the Tigers on a mistake. They really need to do something here to kind of get some type of positive momentum going in this game.
And it is going to be a receiver back in the shotgun. Two receivers left, one to the right, and one man in the backfield. They've got motion from the receiver over to the right. It's going to go into his gut. He's going to try a decent hole on the left side. He's got a blocker. Gets across the 30, 25, out at about the 21-yard line or so. Pretty nice gain there. Actually, looks like they're going to call it back at the 24. That was a good gain of about 9 yards there for the Hornets. For number 7, Jordan Hines.
Yeah, Hines did a nice job backing, going behind his line, running left. And a nice, looks like they're going to give him 9 on that.
Interesting, yes, they are going to give him 9. An interesting adjustment here. Right now they have Jack Carney in at fullback. Hines, who had often been in the backfield, is now playing receiver. And it is going to go up the middle to the big fullback, plowing forward. Do they give him the first down? Do they give Carney? I think they will. Looks like it's a gain of about 2 for Jack Carney. That may be a kind of good solution there for the Hornets. Right now they're moving. It's going to be 1st and 10 for the Tiger 24. Tigers leading 14-0, 10 minutes left to go in the third quarter.
Yeah, and this really the first sustained pressure that the Hornets have had this entire game. Anytime they've really put anything together so far, there's been some type of miscue to end that. So we'll see if we can end that right here and maybe keep something going. Just outside the red zone, the ball on the 22-yard line.
And it looks like Quinn is talking it over with his guys, trying to get set up. He is going to have this time Hines is back in the backfield. This time Big Jack Carty is split out to the right side. One man to the left, two to the right. And it is going to be a pitch out to Hines on that right side, getting strung out by the Tigers, getting absolutely stuffed. That's going to be a loss of 2 on that carry for Jordan Hines. They went back to what they had been trying before, and it worked about as well as it had been before. This is going to be now second, and actually they gave him even more of a loss than I had anticipated. I'm going to say that's a three-yard loss in that run. It's going to be second and 13 from the 25 of the Tigers.
And Middlebury Tiger football on WVTK brought to you in part by Mike's Auto and Towing for all your car care needs and more. See them online at mikesautomid.com. That's mikesautomid.com.
And it is Quinn back in the shotgun looking over to the left. Just really no, he threw it behind his man about 5 yards. So he just kind of threw it out there. Two receivers on the left running forward. The ball fell down behind Hines, 3 yards back. Quinn doesn't appear to actually be seeing where his receivers are going right now. He's anticipating, but even when he anticipates, with the amount of time it took for the receiver to throw him to throw, the receiver would have to be more than 1 yard up the field if they're running. So just really questionable throwing there by Cam Quinn. Just questionable decision making. So it seems like the moment's just a little too big for him right now.
Well, they really do need to get something here. Third and 13 from the 25. And again, their progress, unfortunately for them, seems to have stalled on this drive so far.
And it is Quinn. He's got a man in motion. And they are going to call a timeout for Essex. A timeout. And right now, it is going to be that third and 13.
And Middlebury Tiger football on WVTK brought to you in part by the A. Johnson Lumber Company of Bristol, sustainable timber harvesting and SFI certified, and Mike's Fuels of Bridport and Brandon for all your home, business, and agricultural fuel needs on Route 22A in Bridport and in Brandon. Monument Farms of Weybridge for local fresh milk from their farm to your store. Martin's Hardware of Bristol and Middlebury, your local True Value hardware store, and so much more. J.P. Carrera and Sons Concrete, always ready to mix, and they guarantee a solid finish. Call them at 388-6363.
Currently, the story of the game, as I look over my statistics, are turnovers. The Essex Hornets have lost 3 balls. They have had a fumble and 2 interceptions. For the Tigers, they have had 2 fumbles and a ball bounced off an up man on the punt return, and it bounced back in front, and the Hornets were able to recover it. That's how the Hornets have ended up in this quality field position, but still they've managed to dig themselves a hole, even though they're deep in Tiger territory. It's 3rd and 13 from the 25. The Hornets are trailing 14-0, and they are going to toss it back. It's going to be a halfback option from Hines down to his, and it's a touchdown. It is a touchdown on the halfback option from Hines to Anthony Hope. And that is going to give the Hornets some life on that 24-yard pass.
Yeah, nice job by Quinn getting the ball off. And he dumped that off to Hines, who threw a bomb into the end zone there. And just like we talked about, Bjarke, you let a team stick around long enough, you could wind up having problems, and now it is a one-score game.
And if you're Essex, I like that play call there by Essex. Get it in the hands of somebody who will throw it downfield with some accuracy. Hines was able to do that. And they're going to go for that extra point. It is up. It is good. It is going to 14-7 Tigers. 8:46 left to go in the third quarter on 92.1 WVTK.
Here are just a few reasons why Vermont students choose Community College of Vermont.
Because I can get credit for what I know.
Because it's the least expensive college in Vermont.
Because I want to be a role model for my kids.
Because I want a career, not just a job.
Because I want diversity in the classroom.
Because I get one-on-one advising.
Because I wanted to go to school and work at the same time.
Because I want to avoid debt and stay close to family.
What's your reason? ccv.edu/register.
Your local Napa Auto Parts store, Court Street, Middlebury, has you covered with all the parts you'll ever need to get the job done right. Brett and the staff have parts for the car, the truck, the boat, and the 18-wheeler. Napa in Middlebury is fully stocked, and they're open 7 days a week, Monday through Friday, 7:30 until 5, and weekends, 8 till noon. When it comes to trust, you can always trust Brett and the staff at your local Napa Auto Parts store, 13 Court Street in Middlebury.
This is Middlebury Tiger football on 92.1 WVTK.
penmanship.
This turned into a penmanship class here up in the up in the booth, but that's okay. 8:46 left to go in the second quarter. Essex, after recovering a ball after it hit an up man on a punt return, able to cash in a 24-yard touchdown, a halfback option from Jordan Hines to Anthony Hope, and they are now only trailing 14-7. But the Tigers have the ball back. It's a kick return. The man being driven back, Tyler Buxton being driven back at the 25. Tigers only now leading by a touchdown, looking to come out and make something happen with their first possession of the second half.
Well, let's see how the Tigers respond to really their first bit of real adversity in this game. Kind of playing with fire for a good part of the game, but now that the Hornets have put it in the end zone, it's a one-score game, and there is a lot of time left.
Playing with fire because the Tigers have put the ball on the ground twice. They've had two fumbles, and they actually fumbled three other times that it just didn't happen to go to the other team. So they need that ball security for sure. Cody Pominville under center. He's got three running backs. It's going to go to Sheldrick. Try the right side. Sheldrick kind of gets tripped up after he had a really nice hole. It's going to be a gain of six for Lane Sheldrick. He could have gotten quite a bit more if it hadn't been for that trip. But for the Tigers, you have to like how that starts. It's going to be second and six from the 29-yard line of the Middlebury Tigers. Cody Pominville looking over the near sideline, trying to get the call. He's going to go in. He's got his regular set of running backs here in the double wing, the most traditional Tiger offensive set that you could have. And it is Paul Deering in motion. It's running up the middle with Tyler Hunt. He's going to gain maybe 2 yards there. It's going to be third and about 4 or 5.
And Middlebury running the ball right up the middle there. I think it's important on this drive that they want to have a sustained drive, but it's also important in this case that they have a drive that takes some time off the clock.
And actually, it's going to be third and three here for the Tigers. Absolutely. This is a pretty big down, actually. It is Pominville under center. He's got his three running backs, and Cody has it. He's going to hand it off to Sheldrick. Sheldrick getting tested, but Sheldrick's going to get driven back by a gang of Hornets. A swarm of Hornets. I should have gotten that quicker than that to be pithy. And it is going to be a big loss there for Sheldrick. It's going to be fourth down. Tigers are going to have to punt this thing away.
Well, all of a sudden, the Hornets coming alive on this last play. Their defense really doing a nice job bottling up the Tigers. And as you mentioned, Bjarke, now the Tigers have to punt, and the Hornets are going to get some pretty good field position to start their next offensive drive.
And they have man back. This is Cameron ready to punt away from his 12. And he puts it up. Nice punt there by Wyatt Cameron. Good work. It's going to fall at the 36. And they kind of make the mistake the Hornets do of trying to hand it off to each other. They fake it, loss about two, although a flag comes in at the end. Hope it wasn't a face mask against the Tigers. But I think the Hornets would have been better off just grabbing it and try to plow forward. Sometimes you run the risk of getting a little too cute when you get desperate.
Well, the other thing on that play was that there were a bunch of Tigers there, and all of a sudden on that handoff there, I've seen it happen in games before where you hand it to the wrong player. And you know what? All of a sudden, he's in the end zone.
No, it's true. I think you really want to, you're playing with fire. Plus, with that many people around, you're handing it off, you're doing whatever, you're just going to get popped and dropped it. So, really, for the Hornets, I think probably lucky to have that work out the way it did. For the Tigers, boy, you're going to need a defensive stop here. You've been having great defensive stops all night. Remember, the last Hornet touchdown was aided by a miscue on special teams. Wasn't like the Hornets walked all the way down the field. But is the momentum starting to switch? Will the Hornets feel that they're starting to get somewhere? Right now, starting at the 40-yard line on this drive, they've got a little bit of wind at their back. And they have two receivers off to the left, one to the right, one man in the backfield. And man going long, he's just chucking it up and almost intercepted there by Tyler Buxton. I think the only pass lately that has had any accuracy has been the halfback option throw by Hines, Jordan Hines. If I was the coaches right now, I'd be afraid to put the ball in the hands of Cam Quinn.
Well, you know, and again, it's another thing to talk about here, because you don't want to damage a player's confidence, but at some point, you do have some other quarterbacks on the roster. I don't know. I think if I see a few more incomplete passes, I would definitely think about bringing in somebody just to give them a shot.
Yeah, absolutely. Because right now, it just doesn't seem like Cam Quinn has a chance, really, of connecting on a throw. Right now, there are three receivers, though, and they've got a man, Jordan Hines, coming in motion for the left. They're going to try Hines on the right side. Excellent job there by Riley Brown, bringing Hines down for a loss of about one on that carry. Really nice job by Brown there to corral him and bring him in. It looked like Hines was going to be able to cut back to the middle of the field. Brown just ate him up. It is going to be third and a long 10, maybe 11 yards. I'm going to call it 11. Third and 11 for the Essex Hornets.
You know, the Hornets do have two other quarterbacks on their roster, a junior number 19, Chris Labonte, and a freshman number 27, Sam Bowen. So, you know, who knows? Maybe at some point you give them a shot.
Maybe you do. It'll be interesting to see. Right now, though, if Cam Quinn's going to do anything, now's his time. It is third and 11. Quinn has it. He does get it over. Man, almost makes it to the sticks. We'll see what the call is over on that far sideline. It's going to be close to for Kearney. I think it's going to be a little bit shy, though, for the Hornets. Looks like it was about a nine-yard gain.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where they measure this because, as we saw in the first half,
hard to predict.
There were some, shall we say, interesting placements of the ball, and it does look, I think you're right, though, it does look like it's short.
This was about a similar situation as it was last time. He said this time the sticks, we're standing at the 50-yard line. We have the best seat in the house, in the entire place, and we're sitting right at the 50. The ball is unquestionably at the 49. I think the Essex Hornets might be trying to give the officials a chance, the chain gang, to measure it. Doesn't look like they're going to. Looks like they feel solidly. It's about half a yard, maybe three-quarters of a yard there, maybe about 2 feet or so, actually, for the football. So they're not going to call out the chain gang. So right now for the Hornets, it is fourth and one. You have to figure now's your chance to use a fullback.
Yeah, it certainly is. And Middlebury Tiger football on WVTK brought to you in part by Desiree Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat, 1232 Exchange Street right here in Middlebury. They've got a drop-off location in Vergennes. And Denneker Chevrolet, where they give you free state inspections for as long as you own the vehicle, Route 7 South in Middlebury. Find new roads. And One Credit Union, your locally owned credit union on Green Street in Vergennes.
And back at our station, Jim Ty is smiling. And he knows why. It is going to be fourth and one for the Essex Hornets on the 49. 49 and a half.
And one other thing we need to mention, Bjarke, you are listening to Middlebury Tiger football on 92.1 WVTK, Port Henry.
There we have it.
2 hours late, but we got it done.
All right, so they're stepping up to the line here. And this time it is going to be Cam Quinn directly under center. He's got, for the full time, an I formation. Quinn's going to keep it and try to get forward. Boy, this is going to be an interesting spot. It didn't look like he got it according to one side of the officials. The other official came in closer to the line of scrimmage. I don't think they're going to give it to him. I think it's going to go back to the Tigers. Excellent job. Not sure why they tried Cam Quinn there. It just didn't work. Tiger football at right about the 50-yard line. Just a couple clips past the 50-yarder.
You know, it's really interesting, and again, not being a coach myself, I think the only person that may not have known they were going to run up the middle there was the people in the snack bar.
Well, and I'm okay with them running up the middle, but you put in a fullback, you have a running back, both of them are capable runners. Putting in the hands of Cam Quinn, who hasn't run at all tonight, he's got -1 yards. I'm just not sure the idea. But now it's going to be Lane Sheldrick getting the carry for the Tigers, coming over the right side. Nice stiff arm by Sheldrick as he brings it across and gets driven out of bounds after a gain of about 7. Lane Sheldrick running hard for these Middlebury Tigers, who right now both need to salt time off and gain some points.
Yeah, he did a nice job on that run with the forearm out there, holding off blockers, running right, doing a nice job getting over towards the sideline. But again, talk about what a smart player he is. He saw that he was running out of real estate, and he let himself get tackled inbound so the clock continues to run. That's a smart play.
Nice call there for sure. It is 4:57 left to go in the third quarter. Tigers are leading 14-7. They have the ball. It is Pominville handing it off to Hunt, who gets swallowed as he goes across. Nice job there by number 5. That's Jack Kearney. And it's going to be a third and about 3 for the Middlebury Tigers. Looked like it was going to be more for Hutt than it ended up being. Really a gain of about 1 on that carry. So right now for the Hornets, a big play for the Tigers. A fairly big play. They could certainly live if they don't get this. But for the Hornets, this would be a big play if the Tigers are able to pick up the first down. 3 running backs. It's Deering in motion. It's Hunt. But really, he got caught up in the exchange with Pominville. And the Hornets did jump up and stop that. That will not be a first down. Tigers are going to have a decision here. It's going to be fourth and about 2.
Yeah, it looks like the ball is going to be marked on
the 41
and a half yard line. So fourth and three.
Thereabouts, for sure. And so an interesting decision here, and they are going to punt it away. It is Wyatt Cameron. So again, the Tigers, things going their way, but remember that in that entire drive, they actually only advanced the ball 8 yards. Wyatt Cameron back, ready to do some punting. He has people waiting down. Another nice punt. It's going to be fair caught at the 10. And that is where the Hornets are going to take it over, trailing 14-7, 3:30 left to go in the third quarter.
Yeah, Middlebury Tiger football brought to you in part by Foster Motors, home of the We Care people on Route 7 South in Middlebury. Vermont Field Sports for all your sport and hunting needs on a great selection of new and used guns on Route 7 South in Middlebury. And McIntyre Services of Middlebury on Court Street and Exchange Street. McIntyre Services, keeping friends warm for over 70 years.
And so for the Hornets, they've had some chances. Hasn't worked out for them, but they're still only trailing by 7 points. Coming back to the line, Cam Quinn is still in the game at quarterback. He's playing the shotgun. He's going to hand it off to Jordan Hines, coming from the right to the left. Hines got some space over there on that side. Close to a first down, getting out between the guard and the tackle, and then getting up into the secondary. That's a 9-yard gain for Jordan Hines.
You know, it's interesting here. Hines ran right, and you know who made that stop coming across the field? Cody Pominville. And he did a nice job stopping him. He is limping coming off the field a little bit. Hopefully it's just a stinger.
Sure, absolutely not what you want to see. Not limping terribly, no. But limping a little bit. He's going to have see whether. And he is, I think it's going to be a little bit of a cramp there on his calf. We'll see what happens.
Doesn't
look too
water.
Terrible. Yeah, a little bit of water. So trainer Sarah Johnstone going over to look at him. And it is Cam Quinn in second and one here. And absolutely smothered coming up into the line was Hines. Getting dropped down by a gang of Tigers, including number 67, Yaro Pereira.
Yeah, Pereira has had a pretty good game tonight. He's been involved in a lot of the plays, blocking the holes, plugging it up, not letting much go on. That was a nice play by him there. And again, smothered by the Tigers' defensive line. Third and three right now from the 17.
And that's a long three, actually. If you look at where that is, it's a little tough spot here for the Hornets. 2:33 left to go in this third quarter. Tigers are leading 14-7. Hornets with the ball from their own 17, as you said. It is quarterback has it, sweeps out to Hines on the left side. He's going to pick up the first down and more. Coming up across to about the 24-yard line. That's going to be about a 7. We'll give him an 8-yard gain, Jordan Hines. I feel like these holes are starting to get a little bit bigger for the Hornets. Just a little bit. Jordan Hines is a talented player. People have been paying attention to the Hornets for a while. Remember, him doing damage against the Tigers last year. So it's a little scary to see those holes starting to be open just a little bit longer for Hines. I think it's a good idea for the Hornets that they're using him in a new way.
Yeah, really him taking over a big part of the offense. He's really a big part of the reason that this game has turned around.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. He's out in the wide receiver position. He's coming over now behind Carney. Carney's going to carry it up into the line, and getting stuffed there is Carney. That's going to be a gain of maybe one on the play for the Hornets. Nice job there by the interior of the Tigers' defensive line.
Yeah, the Tigers' defensive line has done a really nice job not allowing much. And again, you're keeping the offense out on the field. The clock is running. 1:30 left to play, third quarter. The Tigers up 14-7. 14-7, Middlebury Tiger football on 92.1 WVTK, and my speech classes begin on Monday.
Second and 10 here for the Hornets, and 20 from the 25-yard line, it seems like they're stuck in the mud at this end of the field. And it is Cam Quinn in the shotgun, two wide receivers off to the left, right, one over to the left, and it is Jack Carney in the backfield. It is Tyler Grady coming over, but no, the quarterback has it. He's looking downfield, flicks it out to his man coming across the side. It's going to be about a 6-yard pickup on that side to Grady Corkum. He was the one who was in motion. That is Corkum's first reception of the game.
And
picked up about 5 yards. Sorry.
And we're under just about a minute now
in this third quarter, for sure. And right now, third and 5 for the Hornets. Time for them to make something happen. Not a long 5. Third and 6 for the Hornets. They are still only at the 30 on their own side of the field. It is Quinn in the backfield and shotgun. He's got Kearney behind him. Two receivers to the left, one to the right. He's going to look out. He's going to test it. It's going to be Hines in the middle, and Hines decides to run backwards with it to try to turn, and that did not work out well for him. A gain of about two on that pitch and catch. And right now, it is going to be fourth down, fourth and about two here for the Hornets. The officials are taking a measurement, which is vaguely bizarre, but we'll see. Maybe not, actually. Maybe it's close.
You know, Bjarke, that is another... the measurement on this one I would question, too. I think that Essex may have gotten a break with this one. That one, I thought that was about a yard behind where they were, and it looks like, boy, that's
boy,
close.
They're going to give it to him. You could tell when they came in from the sideline, it did not look like it was going to be remotely close. And again, folks, we're not trying to be homers here. We do recognize it's Tiger football. We're trying to give it to you in an honest way. It looked quite close on the pass, and then I guess we maybe need to adjust our, maybe not just our speech classes, but maybe see a vision specialist. There's a few eye care specialists in town, of course, but no, it's just kind of interesting and confusing. Mine fell apart on the way to the game. But it is going to be first and 10 for the Hornets, and a little bit of a surprise. Rising turn for sure, and that's going to be the end of the quarter here on 92.1 WVTK. That was weird too, the way that ended.
Again tomorrow, JV and varsity boys.
And so we may be keeping it here. And so the Tigers are over on the near side. We're going into the fourth quarter. It is Tigers up 14-7 on the Essex Hornets, but the Essex Hornets are walking down the field a little bit. It's slow, but as Dave Sears would say, they're matriculating their way down the field here with one quarter left to go. And just one of the weirder games that we've seen in a while here. We've had multiple turnovers, had five turnovers total on the two teams. We have had several ball placements that have just confused us and it created a first down. We've seen miscues here and there, and a game that I would have to say from the beginning you would think would be out of hand certainly is not.
No, it's certainly not out of hand, considering that coming into this game, the Essex Hornets had scored 17 points in three games. That's 12 quarters. And tonight, considering how sloppy this game has been for both teams, they're hanging in there. And really, as you said, the momentum seemingly has switched a little bit because they seem to be getting some things done now.
And for what looked like a get-right game for the Middlebury Tigers, one has to say that the game coming up, Rutland next week, Burton, which although a small school, always has, they may not have a Stalka, but they still have a tough team. And for the Tigers, I think you hoped there was going to be a little bit more of a get-right game off the bat. Well, for the Hornets, it is first and 10 from the 35. And they have their quarterback. It's going to Hines coming over the right side. Excellent block by the wide receiver on the near side. Hines is driven out after a gain of about four. Really nice job there by Anthony Hope, though, to spring him for a few more yards.
Yeah, Hope doing a nice job with a block. Got probably three or four extra yards on that. Nice play by the Hornets. They're keeping their drive going. And, you know, now what you're doing, I'm...
40-24, Rutland
at third. And 40-24, Rutland is currently leading the Hartford Hurricanes at the end of the third. We just got an update. Bruce got a little interrupted there for those of you at home, but that's all right. We roll with it with local football here on 92.1. All right, so we have the Essex Hornets coming up with a first. Sorry, it's going to be a second and six. Everything's discombobulated here. And there's Kearney plowing forward into the line, getting stacked up by a gang of Tigers, and they're fighting. And it is going to be about 3 yards left there for Essex before it's going to be third and three.
Yeah, 11:37 left to play in the fourth quarter. The Tigers up 14-7. And again, on this drive, the Hornets doing a nice job keeping the ball moving forward. And they're doing a nice job keeping the sustained pressure on the Tigers.
All right, we're back, folks. It is the Hornets coming up 3rd and 3. A huge play here, and we mean to not lose that in this process. It is a huge play for Essex. 3rd and 3. They're approaching midfield against the Tigers. It is going to be taken by Kearney up the middle. Tigers are trying to catch him. Oh, it's going to be another close one. I think they're going to give him the first down here. It's going to be a close one here. Big pickup potentially for the Essex Hornets. I think they're going to have to call in the chain gain again for another one of these doozies.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, Bjarke. It looks like they've given it to to them. The chains are moving.
Yeah, it looked like that was going to be the way. And boy, Essex, as tough as it's been, as hard as it's been, it's 14-7. Essex only trailing by 7 with 10:54 left to go in this first quarter. It's Cam Quinn in the shotgun. Two out to the right, one to the left, one man in the backfield. Quinn dropping back, looking for the open man on this side. Hines, it's out of Hines' hands. It's out of Fisher's hands. My goodness, Quinn, he had Hines wide open. You got to get your playmaker with the ball in his hands in a place where Jordan Hines could do something. If I'm Jordan Hines, I'm going to go over and say, man, calm down. If I'm the coaches, I'm going to give the Hines another halfback option because Cam Quinn just not putting it together.
Man, I'll tell you what, if Fisher had that, he was gone. He was all the way down the sideline. There was no one in front of him in the end zone. Nice play, though, that he made. That was, you know, it's not exactly an easy
pass
to pick off. But again, he doesn't drop that. He's in the end zone.
Second and 10 for the Hornets here from their own 45. Quinn back in the shotgun. Two to the right, one to the left. Man in motion is Jordan Hines. It's going to be the handoff to Hines. He's going to try the left side. He's got blockers. Big hole for Jordan Hines. He totally accelerates across the 41 man to beat. It's Fisher on his back. He gets dragged down, but he's dragged down at the 15-yard line. That was a 30-yard gain for Hines, and boy, things are starting to swing a little bit. Tigers have to be getting a little tight.
Yeah, we talked about momentum switches in this game, and that is exactly what is apparently happening. I mean, the Hornets meticulously moving up the field, and Hines with a nice job running left with some blockers and taking a bunch of Middlebury Tigers with them.
The adjustment here, let's give the Essex coaches credit here. They tried Jordan Hines in the single setback for a long time. Now they're bringing him in sweeps from the wide receiver position, really jet sweeps, you'd call them. And they are working right now for the Hornets. It is first and 10 from the Tiger 16. And now they're going to try Carney up the middle, and now they seem to be making headway. That's going to be a good gain on first down for Carney. He's going to get 5 yards on the power, fullback power up the middle.
Yeah, 10 minutes left, fourth quarter. The Tigers up by a touchdown, 14-7. But Essex definitely threatening.
Second and 5 from the 12-yard line. Essex has a chance here to get a first down before they get in the end zone. So that's a pretty good position for them. For the Tigers, you need to tighten up. Now, the one advantage the Tigers have here, as you get into the red zone, the field shrinks, and you are able to cover more area. Right now, though, there's going to be two people on the left. Hines is... Oh, another man off to the right. Hines is coming from left to the right. He's got a lot of space to try on that right side. If he's able to turn the corner, he's getting into the end zone. He got to the pylon. Let's see what they call it. Hines is going to be out of bounds on the one. It's going to be first and goal from the 1 yard line for the Essex Hornets. Tigers are going to need to tighten up here.
On the one.
Yeah, the ball is going to be spotted on the one. A nice job running right. He had a couple of blockers. I thought he might have gotten the pylon, but apparently not. Ball on the 1 yard line, and let's see if the Tigers are able to stop this.
No, Essex absolutely has made an adjustment here. Hines is going out. That's not a problem for them right now. Right now, it's going to be Jack Carney up the middle, one would think, for at least one try. Don't try to do anything crazy to lose yards. For the Tigers, you're going to see them get in a very interesting situation. They're going to get down with their heads almost all the way on the ground. Their butts are going to be up in the air. They're going to try to plow the middle of that line as hard as they can. They got a man in motion. It's going to be a swing out to Carney. He walks in untouched into the end zone. This is going to be close to a tie game, or maybe a tie game in a second.
Well, 8:46 to play, fourth quarter. The Tigers now up 14-13, pending the extra point, or dare I say a two-point conversion, but I don't think you do that here.
No, you do not. This is weird things in the world. The score in the third quarter by Essex was at 8:46 in the third quarter. It doesn't mean anything, but it's just a weird little oddity as I write my statistics. And it is going to be the extra point. The first extra point for the kicker for Essex was ugly as sin, but it did go in. We're going to see how this one goes, and it's down. And this one is no prettier. It is no good. He missed it. That was a missed kick by number 9. We'll be back. It is 14-13. Tigers over the Hornets. 92-1 WVTK.
It's the Jeep celebration event at Foster Motors in Middlebury. For the month of September, Foster Motors will be offering supplier pricing for all. Buy any new in-stock 2017 or 2018 for the same price Chrysler supplier employees pay. Check out the stylish 2018 Jeep Cherokee or the all-new Jeep Compass. It's also Ram Power Days at Foster Motors. Great deals on 2017 Rams, including 1500 quad and crew cab trucks. Visit Foster Motors Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram on Route 7 in Middlebury. And remember, at Foster Motors...
For just what you need to get your projects done right, shop Martin's True Value Hardware and Radio Shack. Hi, I'm Kathleen Clark.
Set, fly, ready, fly, ready. Hut.
Hey, Martin, it's fun to watch these football games. Oh, what does that mean? The striped guy has his two arms up in the air.
It means it's good for the Tigers. Looks like they're headed for another win. Keep up the winning tradition, Tigers.
For all your fall needs, shop Martin's Hardware in Bristol and Middlebury. Behind every project is a true value.
If it's Tiger football, it's on WVTK, Port Henry, Ticonderoga, Middlebury, 92.1 WVTK. This is where the Middlebury Tigers play, 92.1 WVTK.
And we're back with 8:42 left to go in the fourth quarter. Tigers are living another day here because of the missed extra point. Then the Hornets tried an onside kick, looking to get it back. Kind of desperate measures here with 8:42 left to go. There's still plenty of time. But the Tigers have it almost at midfield. First and 10 from the 49. Pominville under center. And he is going to hand it off to Tyler Hutt, who's going to plow forward. Nice carry on that first down for the Tigers. 6-yard carry for Hutt. That's what the Tigers need right now. They need to get some yards. They need to eat some clock. In a way, they don't even need to score, but they need to make sure that they move that ball down the field and make it really hard for Essex to go get any points.
Yeah, and one of the other things that is going to come into consideration here, if they do not have a kicking game, and you don't know if they do.
They don't appear to.
Then more on that in a second.
Pominville under center. He's going to pitch it out to Deering coming across. Deering's going to get smothered as he tries to get across the line of scrimmage. It is going to be 3rd and 5. This is a big play for the Middlebury Tigers.
Yeah, good play by Brendan McCormick of the Hornets coming around and wrapping him up. 7:55 left to play in the fourth quarter. But getting back to my point, if there is no kicking game, and we don't know if there is, then they have to score a touchdown.
Right.
And one has to wonder if the Tigers have a sustained drive, if there's enough time for that to happen.
Pominville under center looking to make that sustained drive happen. 3rd and 5. He's got Sheldrick in motion. He's going to keep it himself, running out to that right side. He's looking downfield. He puts it in the air. Manages to get it to Tyler Hutt. Nice first down pickup there from the 45 down to the 30. We're going to give it a 15-yard gain from Cody Pominville to Tyler Hutt. That was very good timing. They needed that.
Very good field management, too. You saw him run right. You saw him wait for his receiver to get open and just make a nice complete pass again. And the other thing is the clock keeps running.
It does. It is 7:27 left to go in the fourth. Tigers are leading by only a point, 14-13. But they are working their way down the field. They're at the 30 of the Hornets. Pominville under center. He's got Deering moving right to the right. He's got Hutt plowing forward. That's what you need on those first down runs. That's a 5-yard gain. Just powering forward, putting his head down.
And Hutt doing a nice job. And he looks like he might be shaking up a little bit, Bjarke.
Yeah, he came up a little slow last week. You see if he's a little slow right now. It's an official timeout for an injury. We'll keep it here.
Yeah, and so far the Tigers doing a nice job keeping the clock running and keeping the ball down the other side of the field and keeping the Essex offense off the field. So we'll see if they're able to keep this going. Right now, 2nd and 4 from the 25, but kind of a timeout on the field because one of the Tigers... Tyler Hutt is down.
Although he's up, though.
He's up on his own power, so that's a good thing to see.
Very good to see. Certainly for these Tigers, they're going to really want him in there to salt this game away. It is going to be a 2nd and 4 from their own 20, for not from their own, from the Essex 25. They're going to have Cooper Bullock probably in at fullback. Let's see what that is. Yes, it is going to be Cooper. Looking over to the sideline, getting the call in. Right now, they do have Wyatt Cameron in at split end, so kind of a wide receiver position for those of you who aren't familiar with the terminology of split end. But they do still have Deering and Sheldrick in at the halfback. And it's Deering in motion from right to left. It's going to be a pitch out to Deering coming over to the left side. Nice hole on that left side. Oh, it gets hung up, but not until a very nice pickup. He's going to be at the 12. That was a 13-yard game for Paul Deering.
And on that play, Grady Corkum for the Hornets probably saved a touchdown with the block stopping him from getting into the end zone. 6:30 left to play in the fourth quarter. The Tigers up by a point, 14-13, and the Tigers threatening with the ball at the 13-yard line.
So this is going to be an interesting situation. So let's say the Tigers do score here, which we certainly hope. They're going to give the ball back to the Hornets with plenty of time for a last drive. Pominville under center. He's got it. He hands it to Bullock up the middle. Bullock plowing forward. He's going to gain about 5 yards on that carry. They're going to be looking at third. It's going to be, sorry, second and about five.
Well, this is the point of the game where clock management comes into play here, too, because you're really not in a hurry to get into the end zone.
No, you're really not.
You want to get into the end zone, but again, there's no hurry if you're Middlebury right now.
Fromminville under center. He's got Bullock behind him. He's got one wide receiver off to the right. He's got Sheldrick in motion from the right to the left to the right. Sheldrick trying that right side, getting stacked up by a swarm of Hornets. It's going to be a little shy, I think, of the first down, although I haven't had the best night with that. And so I think it's going to be third and about one. Third and two. I don't think that's the issue. All right. So it's going to be third and two. I'm going to say third and a short two. I'm going to say third and one, just so people know. It's going to be close to that sticks when they rush it. And there we go. They're going to have it in. All of those Hornets are going to be down trying to block him. It's going to be Bullock behind Pominville. Deering in motion from the right to the left. Pominville hands it to Bullock. Is he going to pick up the first down? He's going to be close. Let's see here. Very hard to tell. We're going to have to wait for the official's signal here.
Turning company on the stop.
It is going to be fourth and about one, it looks like. So for the Tigers, obviously, a huge play here on this fourth and two. Usually they convert these things. Looks like Coach Smith is going to take a timeout with 4:36 left to go in this game. Tigers are still nursing a one-point lead, 14-13, with a fourth and one with the ball on the five-yard line. Keep in mind, they can pick up a first down before they get in the end zone. As you say, best thing that might be able to happen is for them to fall forward for 2 yards and have another set of downs.
Well, again, if you fall forward and you do get another set of downs, you can conceivably take another two and a half minutes off the clock before trying to, you know, obviously you want to punch it in, but you really don't want to give them the ball back with a chance to tie it. And, you know, we've seen in the last quarter and a half that Essex certainly has the ability, especially with Hines, to go right up the field.
Tigers are talking it over.
Middlebury Tiger football on WVTK, brought to you in part by Mike's Auto and Towing. For all your car care needs and a whole lot more, see them online at mikesautomid.com. That's mikesautomid.com. And the A. Johnson Lumber Company of Bristol, sustainable timber harvesting and SFI certified.
And this is a huge play. Fourth and one with a ball on the five. And it's Pominville under center. He's got his three running backs and one wide receiver, Wyatt Cameron, off to the right. Pominville has it. He's going to keep it himself. He's rolling out. He's looking for Cameron. Touchdown. No, it's Lane Sheldrick with a touchdown. Five-yard touchdown from Cody Pominville to Lane Sheldrick. That's nice for the Tigers. Let's see if the Tigers go for two here to try to make it difficult. I might consider going for two if I was the Tigers. We'll see what they do. They're currently ahead by seven. So, now you're going to go for one. You're going to go for one because that way the best thing that the Hornets can do is tie it. Sure enough, they do have Jack Donahue in for the kick. The ball is up. And as ever with Jack Donahue, it's good. It is 21-13, Tigers over the Hornets on 92.1 WVTK.
Real trust is having a partner you can count on. National Bank of Middlebury has experienced bankers providing advice, guidance, and support you can trust. And a full range of loans, savings, and online products and services. Find out what having the right partner can do for you. Offices in Middlebury, Brandon, Bristol, Hinesburg, and Vergennes, or online at mbmvt.com. Bank real. Live real. National Bank of Middlebury.
Member FDIC. Equal housing lender. Equal opportunity employer.
Lathrop Forest Products in Bristol specializes in logging and land clearing. Do you have trees blocking your view or have a large lot you need cleared for building? Lathrop's can clear that land for many uses, like scenic views, roads, and even pasture reclamation. And they can cover a large amount of land and get it done fast. With the 60 years experience, they can handle all of your forest clearing needs. Call Lathrop Forest Products in Bristol at 453-3606. That's 453-3606.
Now back to Tiger football on 92.1 WVTK.
And the Middlebury Tigers, just when they needed it, got what they needed. Cody Pominville, a five-yard pass to Lane Sheldrick for a touchdown. Jack Donahue was good, and the Tigers are now ahead by a touchdown and a two-point conversion. But Essex is going to try to put something on the board. They've got a man returning up the middle, and it is Grady Corkum getting a little bit of space. Essex is going to take over at the 42. This is still a very interesting game here with 4:20 left to go. Hornets are trailing by 8 points.
And Corkum with a nice job getting up the field, giving his team a chance. Great field position. They're going to take over at the 42-yard line, first and 10. And like you said, Bjarke, a lot of time left.
A lot of time left. The Hornets did start getting things working by getting Jordan Hines coming across on jet sweeps and taking it from quarterback Cam Quinn and running. Quinn's in the shotgun. It's Hines coming across, and Hines has it. He's getting the right, but nice job reading that by the Tiger defense. Looks like it was... Who was that? Hutt on the tackle. Excellent job there reading that. They probably knew that was coming for sure. That was a loss of two for Jordan Hines. It is going to be second and 12. Well, second 11. We'll give that one down. Loss of one. Second and 11 for the Hornets on the 41 of their own side of the field. 3:55 left to go, trailing by eight. They need a touchdown here to force overtime.
Yeah, and just so everybody at home knows, that in terms of timeouts, the Tigers have two left, and Essex only has one. So we'll see if that comes into play as well.
It is Quinn in the shotgun. Two off to the left, one to the right. And here comes Hines in motion. He's getting up in the backfield. It's going to be a pitch to Hines on the near side. Not a ton of space, but good job, Hines, falling forward. He's only going to pick a chunk back up, though. It's going to be third and five here for this next play. It was a gain of about six on that carry for Hines. If he hadn't tripped, though, he could have had more. Third and seven, actually, for the Hornets.
And the clock now becoming an enemy of the Hornets, down to 3:07. And they're going to have to get the ball up here relatively quickly.
Sure, and for those of you at home who watch mostly pro or college football, 3 minutes is an eternity.
Yeah.
High school football, especially the way Essex Hornets are playing it right now, 3 minutes is not a lot of time. Two to the near side, which is the short side of the field, one off to the right, and it's going to be thrown to this near side. It's going to be a first down. He should have gotten out of bounds, but it is going to be a pass complete for a first down to the 43. That was about a 12-yard gain there from Quinn to Anthony Hope.
Yeah, so 2:41 left to play. Now the clock will start running again, and the ball at the 44, first and 10 for Essex.
And it is going to be Quinn in the shotgun. Expect a heavy dose of Jordan Hines here. Quinn is back. He's got Hines moving in motion in front of him, but he's going to fake it to Hines and instead hand it to his big fullback who's trying to slam his way forward. It's not going to gain many, though. It's going to be Carney with maybe a gain of three on that first down run. It's going to be second and about seven or maybe eight. Tyler Hutt on the tackle for the Tigers. And right now, 2:03 left to go. As we said, they are not moving quickly. An entire minute since we last made that mention. It is going to be Quinn back in the shotgun. He's got two to the right, one to the left, one man Carney in the backfield. He's dropping back. He's looking downfield. He's going to be to Hines. Hines is going to go to that near sideline, dragged out by Lane Sheldrick. It's going to be a decent little pickup, not a first down, though. It's going to be third and about three here for these Tigers.
Yeah, and Hines doing a nice job running right and getting out of bounds after making that catch, stopping the clock. 1:44 left to play, fourth quarter. Tigers leading the Hornets 21-13. Middlebury Tiger football Friday night. WVTK, an exciting game.
An exciting game. And coming down to the wire, 1:44. Tigers leading by a touchdown and a two-point conversion. Two to the right, one to the left, one man in the backfield. Jordan Hines coming across in front of the quarterback. It's a handoff to Hines. He's got a decent hold on that left side. He's got some blockers. He's going to get close to that first down. I do think they're going to give it to him. It's going to be, I believe, and I could be wrong, it's going to be first and 10 here for the Hornets. But time is a ticket. They should stop the clock to move the chains. We'll see what they decide. And now the officials are playing catch. If I was Essex, I'd be freaking out here.
Bring up fourth and a short one.
And that's not a first down. Goodness gracious, I can't really predict anything here. Fourth and a short one here for the Hornets. This right now, the game hinges on this play for the Essex Hornets. They can't win it with this play, but if they don't pick up this very short first down, they can lose it. Don't mess around with your quarterback. You need to put it in Kearney's hands right now if you're the Hornets. And if you're the Tigers, you're going to stuff that while you can. It is in Kearney's hands. I think we'll see.
I do not think he got that, Fiarchy. I do not think he got that.
Well, we'll see for sure. It doesn't look like it there. They've got it on the line, and that stick is beyond the line. So we shall see. You'd have to figure the officials are going to take an official's timeout. They're not. There you go. It's Tiger football. Now they just need to salt this thing away. 45 seconds. They're going to be able to kneel it and run it out.
Wow, and you know what's funny? When they ran that ball, he ran right into his own lineman, and they stopped.
I have to say, for the officials, though, either way, you have to measure this ball just
Absolutely.
To call it. I mean, that's just proper work to measure this ball. It's surprising. It looks close. How you don't measure that is very surprising. But Tigers are in the victory formation. That's going to be it. Boy, a close-fought one at 21-13, but one the Tigers are going to come out on top. Although it was not the get-right game we anticipated going into next game against Rutland. Right now, Essex is going to take a timeout, but they're not going to be able to stop this thing. That was counted as a negative 2-yard run against Cody Pominville.
Well, the Tigers got the stop when they needed it.
They sure did.
You know, gut check win. It really is. I mean, considering some of the challenges they've had, they led the game big, 14-0. Essex came back into it, got it to 14-13. They put the ball in the end zone again. They had to stop them, and they did. That's exactly what they needed to do. And so props to the Tigers for our well-played fourth quarter. They really... really played well, and the coaches have got to feel pretty good about this going into next week's game against Rutland.
They do, although they certainly have to think that they would have anticipated coming out and putting more than 21 up on the board the way it went. So they're going to have to think about that and get back to the drawing board. But right now, with 35 seconds left to go, Pominville takes another knee, and the Hornets, however, cannot stop the clock. And let's see what they call it. The officials are talking to the guys. They're looking back and forth. And here comes the Tigers off the field. It's a victory on homecoming night for these Middlebury Tigers. They are victorious over the Essex Hornets by a score of 21-13. Join us after the game for all our post-game analysis, looking to the future, and our talk with the J.P. Carrera Player of the Game. Tigers victorious in Week 4 on 92.1 WVTK.
You already know County Tire Center is the place to go when it's time to retire your tires. But County Tire Center is so much more than tires. You're under the car care specialist. Everything from regular maintenance to inspections, repairs, and shocks. We're even a qualified hybrid shop. Plus, our shuttle service is always available, so you're never stranded. County Tire Center, with great tire brands like Firestone, Bridgestone, and Nokian. On Seymour Street, across from Fire and Ice in Middlebury, and at County Tire Center.
Desabray Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat is located at 1232 Exchange Street, Middlebury. We offer wash, dry, fold, shirt service, bulk rate dry cleaning, wedding gowns, rugs, Uggs, bedding, and alterations. The laundromat's open 7 days a week, 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. For our customers, there's free Wi-Fi available, as well as a TV room. We have single load washers, up to 60-pound washers, and 30-pound to 75-pound dryers. Desabray on Exchange Street in Middlebury.
This year, have you been dreaming about staying in the warm weather for the winter? You can make your dreams come true at Brandon Auto and RV, Route 7 in Pittsford. Scott has any camper or RV you're looking for, and from famous names like Falcon, Gulfstream, and Travelite. And for the family that loves to get away, pick out your new or used camper early, because at Brandon Auto and RV, they've got the lowest prices in the U.S. and Canada. See them on Facebook and at BrandonRVBT.com.
When making home improvements, consider your options carefully.
Excuse me? Hello? I'm looking for bathroom tile.
Hi.
Oh, finally. I'm looking for bathroom tile.
Well, you're in the plumbing department, so...
So you can't help me?
No.
Countryside Carpet and Paint is your hometown experts in paint, flooring, tile, and hardwood. Their advice is genuine, and they truly care about how your project comes together. Countryside Carpet and Paint in Middlebury.
Decorate the countryside away.
Champlain Valley Properties, the voice of Addison County Real Estate, proudly supports the MUHS Tigers. They're at 70 Court Street in Middlebury. Stop by and see one of their agents, Nancy Foster, Robin Foster Cole, Diana Barthume, Mandy Daly Hodson, and John Snyder White. And they're all MUHS alumni or have students currently attending MUHS. At Champlain Valley Properties, they're ready and willing to assist you with all your real estate needs. Stop by and see them or check their webpage out at ChamplainValleyProperty.com.
Make sure your bow is tuned up and ready for the hunt. Stop in to Vermont Field Sports and have Tim tune your bow for that shot you've been scouting for. And don't forget to check out the new PSE and Parker bows and crossbows. You've been waiting all year for this one chance at the perfect shot. Don't miss out. With 30 years' experience, the staff at Vermont Field Sports can answer all of your questions. Vermont Field Sports, located at 1458 Route 7 South in Middlebury. Or find us on Facebook at Vermont Field Sports.
This is Tiger Football on 92.1 WBTK.
Well, welcome back to Doc Collins Field on the beautiful campus of Middlebury Union High School in Middlebury, Vermont. Homecoming night 2017, where the Middlebury Tigers have beaten the Essex Hornets 21-13. A very, very exciting game. And back and forth, anybody could have won it, but the Tigers got off to a quick start. 2 minutes and 53 seconds into the game, they went on a 8-play, 69-yard drive, featured by Cody Pominville, running into the end zone, a 2-yard run, making it 7-0 in favor of the Tigers. And then a little bit later in the quarter, 1:17 left in the second quarter, Cody Pominville with a 13-yard pass to Zach Dunn. Jack Donahue with the kick. Good. 14-0. Tigers at the end of the first half. And really an interesting story in the first half was just how much Cody Pominville did in that game, or in that half, rather. He had 86 yards rushing in the first half, 33 passing yards, and really did a great job managing the team, leading the Tigers to a 14-0 lead after the first half. Now, coming back the second half of the game, the Essex Hornets got themselves back into the game. 8:46 to play left in the third quarter. The ball bounced off a Middlebury Tiger on the punt return. Jordan Hines with a 24-yard pass to Anthony Hope. The extra point was good. That made it 14-7. And then, ironically, 8:46 left in the fourth quarter, a 30-yard run by Jordan Hines, a 1-yard run by James Comey, taking into the end zone. And a big part of the game, or so we thought at that point, the extra point was no good. It made it 14-13 Tigers. And then with 4:30 left to play in the game, a 15-yard pass from Cody Pominville to Tyler Hott, putting the game really out of reach. Jack Donovan with the kick, 21-13, the final. And the Tigers even their record at 2-2. And Bjarke is back with our player of the game.
And actually, we're going to step aside for a moment. We'll be back for the player of the game on 92.1 WBTK.
McIntyre Services, with two locations, has been serving Addison County residents for over 70 years. They sell home heating fuel, diesel fuel, and gasoline at 213 Exchange Street and at 49 Court Street, both in Middlebury. At McIntyre Services, Sunoco is their brand, and they encourage you to apply for the Sunoco Rewards Card, where you can save 5 cents on every gallon of gas or diesel right at the pump. McIntyre Services in Middlebury, making friends warm for over 70 years.
Look under your feet. That's concrete. And whether it's at home, on the farm, or in the workplace, concrete makes up foundations, sidewalks, barnyards. There are lots of uses for concrete in Addison County, but there's only one place to get it. J.P. Carrera & Sons. Their state-of-the-art plant, modern fleet of red, white, and blue trucks, and experienced drivers ensure the quality and efficient delivery of your concrete, crushed gravel, wash sand, and stone. Route 116 Middlebury, 388-6361. J.P. Carrera, the name in concrete.
Your local Napa Auto Parts store, Court Street, Middlebury, has you covered with all the parts you'll ever need to get the job done right. Brad and the staff have parts for the car, the truck, the boat, and the 18-wheeler. Napa in Middlebury is fully stocked and they're open 7 days a week, Monday through Friday, 7:30 until 5, and weekends, 8 till noon. When it comes to trust, you can always trust Brad and the staff at your local Napa Auto Parts store, 13 Court Street in Middlebury.
Hi, this is John Wallace, graduate gemologist and owner of Autumn Gold in Middlebury, Vermont. Stop in and melt someone's heart. Whether you're looking for fine handcrafted jewelry, a rare gemstone, or an awesome diamond, come in and see what we have to offer. Meet our fun staff of very talented designers and goldsmiths. And remember, we do expert in-house repairs, restorations, and appraisals as well. Autumn Gold, the Earth's most beautiful gifts.
Celebrating 60 years in business, LaBerge equals insurance. LaBerge Insurance Agency has been helping you find the right insurance. Don't pay too much for the wrong coverage. LaBerge Insurance will get it right. Homeowners, renters, condo, auto, life, commercial, or farm insurance, call LaBerge at 388-2772. LaBerge Insurance Agency, locally owned and conveniently located at 1 Washington Street, Middlebury. LaBerge equals insurance.
High school football is on 92.1 WVTK.
And we're back with the post-game show. More on the post-game show on 92.1 WVTK. And I'm joined right now by our JP Carrera Player of the Game, and that is Tyler Buxton, a sophomore. I can't think of the last time we had a sophomore up here to talk to. And just to be honest with you, and you may not be aware of this, sophomores generally don't play on the varsity team in the Middlebury Tigers, and there's three of you here along the way. And so, there's a blast from the past. Got some boys with some beards down there. All right. So, talk to us a little bit about tonight. What did you guys expect coming in, and then what did you get?
Well, we expected a good game. Yeah, they were 0-3, but we knew they were going to come ready to play, wanting a win, and we just knew that we had to play our hardest, and I feel like it was a little sloppy throughout the game, but I think we got the job done.
It was a little sloppy. In fact, there ended up being 5 turnovers. There could have been more. The ball was put on the ground a few times, so you guys were able to recover. How do you kind of maintain your composure? How does the team maintain its composure during a game? How do the coaches kind of keep you settled when things get a little sloppy?
Well, that comes from mostly all of us. See, once we make was if one of us make a bad play, we're always there to cheer them up and tell them to keep going, move on. It's all right, next play. And yeah, that just really helps. Like, and the teammates are just very supportive. And yeah.
So for you, I mean, one of the reasons you're up here is, you held the first half. You guys held Essex to 29 total yards by my count, and only 16 yards on the ground for an entire half. And a lot of that had to do with plays where you really stuck people at the end. You know, they'd come back into your zone, into your area, and you just lay the boom on them. And talk about how it feels a little bit, I think, for you. People should know Cam Devlin is up there as a sophomore, too, and TJ Gettleman's getting some time. How's that adjustment been for you guys playing varsity football?
Well, from freshman football to varsity football, like, that's just insane. But we're really enjoying it right now. We never expected to be starting this much, though. But, it's just very fun, and we focus sure. A lot during practice, and that's just how we do it.
Sure, and you kind of feel the responsibility, right? So you guys are probably paying as much attention as anybody when coach talks, right? You know, you're lucky to be here, kid. You better pay attention. But you guys aren't lucky to be there. You guys are really contributing and doing really good things. I mean, Cam got down on a fumble early in the game and different plays along the way. Let's talk a little bit about some seniors. Cody Pominville was able to recover really well from a couple miscues there with the ball. And talk a little bit about Cody's game and his ability to recover along the way.
What's amazing about Cody is that if he makes a bad play, he just shakes it off immediately. Yeah, he might think about it for 5 seconds, but the next play, he's ready. He's ready. He's just very, very good at that. And, he did really well passing and his fakes and stuff like that is just really helpful in the game. And, he just did very well.
So right now, the game Rutland right now, you're playing against next week, is up. It's about 40-38 with Hartford right now. They're up against Hartford with about 9 minutes left to go in the game. What do you guys think going forward against Rutland? What are some things you're going to work on? What are the things you're doing well right now? And what maybe will the coach be focusing on a little bit going forward?
Well, I think what we need to work on is a little bit more like pass coverage still, especially with us sophomores. We're still getting into the groove of things. And, And also breaking down to make tackles. I know we all know that Rutland's going to be a very good team this year. And yeah, it's going to be a good game.
I think it will be. It'll be great, and we'll see you next week. So just so you know how this works, if you're the JP Career Player of the Game, it's your one time. You're not eligible twice for the year anyway. You've got a couple more years to go and try to earn it. But this is your chance. But you know, a good, I think, recovery by your team there in terms of 2 weeks maybe not being what you wanted and then coming back and getting it back on track and looking forward to watching you do that again next week. So thank you very much, our JP Career Player of the Game.
Thank you very much.
All right, and that was Tyler Buxton. We'll be right back with the last few thoughts here at 92.1 WVTK.
Hi, this is Brett Smith, CEO of One Credit Union. At One, we not only provide personal financial solutions, we also provide commercial solutions. Yet, we're not a bank. We're a not-for-profit cooperative owned by you, our members. That makes us a very competitive, truly local resource for our business community. At One Credit Union, we're here to help our business members. Together, we're one.
Hi, this is Heather Cousineau from DJ's Enterprise and a proud member of One Credit Union since 1986. When we expanded our business to include kiln-dried firewood, we needed specialized machinery. We liked the idea of a local credit union that was right in our community and was willing to look at our unique circumstances and work with us. We quickly realized that One Credit Union would be a great partner, making our money work harder and smarter for us. I'm proud to be a One Credit Union member owner. Check them out at onecu.org. That's onecu.org. Together, we're one.
One Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA and an equal housing lender.
Monument Farms in Weybridge is 100% authentic and part of Vermont's heritage. They literally do it all, from growing their own corn, raising the cows, feeding and milking them, then processing and distributing the milk. You can find their great local products in many area stores if you live locally. Please stop by their popular dairy store Monday through Fridays. Monument Farms, landmark quality from the heart of Vermont in Weybridge.
Listening to MUHS Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
And that's the end of the game here. That was our JP Carrera Player of the Game. And a final few thoughts here going into next week. You just listened to the Middlebury Tigers defeat the Essex Hornets by a score of 21-13. And Bruce, a couple last thoughts here before we say goodnight.
Well, I'll tell you, I think that the Tigers played a really, really good game tonight. I think, again, Cody Pominville did a nice job managing the field, managing the way he sees the field. That's really, really important. I know you can coach a lot of stuff. Personally, whether it's football or hockey, I think that sometimes that vision is not something you really can teach. I'm really impressed with the way that he bounced back after the way they played last week. They put up 21 points, like you said. Maybe they could have put up more, but really, in the scheme of things, they won the game. And that, in the scheme of things, is really all that matters. They did have a stretch where they let the Hornets back into the game, but they sealed it up, and they won the game.
They did, absolutely. And I think what's going to be interesting, though, is I don't know that this was the game the Tigers or their fans were expecting. I think for a lot of people, this was going to feel like the Colchester game. It was going to be a get-right game. You're going to go out there. You're going to make it down the field. And I think those miscues really took the wind out of the Tigers' sails. I think those fumbles. I mean, keep in mind, there were fumbles. There could have been three other fumbles. One went out of bounds. Yeah. Two got covered up. And I think for the Tigers, this is not a Tiger football team, and these are not Tiger coaches who look at those things as being just part of the game. They expect a high level of rigor. They expect a high level of focus. For them to get multiple penalties in the game, and actually they're pretty penalty free this game, but in general, they really expect a fair level of focus because they often like to win games, in defensive struggles. That's part of the Tiger identity. You win at the line, you play defensive games. They've gotten away from that in the last few years, but as the line of cars heads out away and we see them off in the distance, a lot of people who are listening on the radios right now probably nodding their heads, go, yeah, that's the Tigers we know. You win at the line of scrimmage, you play defensive football, you win hard. It's hard to win that way when you commit turnovers. The Tigers lived dangerously tonight. Let's keep in mind that if that extra point hadn't gone wide, it would be 14-14 in a game that had no business being 14-14 at all. Right now, with the last time we knew, Rutland was up by 2 points over Hartford, 40-38. Okay, 40 points. The Tigers Tigers were only able to score a punt return touchdown against the Hurricanes. So the Tigers have 1 week right now to get it together in terms of going down and taking on Rutland. They could do it. They have the skill. Cody did recover very well tonight, and so did other players as well. They absolutely have the capability to do it. I think they just need to get in the film room tomorrow, or actually on Sunday they'll get in the film room, and then they'll get back on the field and work on shoring up those things. And really, it's right now it's a little bit of mistakes here and there that they're going to need to shore up.
Well, a couple of things. I mean, are the coaches happy with the way that they won the game tonight? Probably not. But again, one of the things that happens, regardless of the sport, when you build a championship team that wins a championship, you have to learn how to win beautiful, and you have to learn how to win ugly. This was not a flawless game for either team.
Sure.
But again, in the scheme of things, they're going to look at the film on Sunday. They're going to say, this is where we can improve. But again, Cody Pominville managing the field, managing the team, and winning the game. They do have some things they can work on. But again, you when you win a championship, you're going to look back at different points in the season and say, you know what? That might have been a part of the season where things turned around for us. Because again, if you look back at this game, Bjarke, there was that one measurement here earlier
sure.
in the game.
There are a couple funky measurements.
That was questionable at
yep.
best, okay? If Essex goes on to win this game, we may be talking about that, about the turning point of the game, about a questionable call. But the fact of the matter is, the Tigers have evened their record. They're 2-2. They've got a week to kind of right the ship, so to speak. And they need to do that, because next week, Rutland is going to bring it.
Rutland's going to bring it. And then after that, it's going to be the Bulldogs of Burt Burton here at home. Then at Burlington, an improved team. CVU to round out the year, not the strongest team in the world. It was a 6-3 game against Essex the other day. As far as Essex, it's going to be a tough row to hoe. They're 0-4 at the end. They have a couple easier games, but at the end, they've got Rutland and Hartford for the last 2 weeks of the season. So Essex, you have to think, is really out of the running. But for the Middlebury Tigers, you won. You're 2-2, as you say. The season's in front of you, coming out of homecoming week with a win, and that's always important. You keep on moving and you keep doing good things and you build on those good things. I think the running of Tyler Hutt, the running of Lane Sheldrick, interspersing those other people, quick burst by Paul Deering, quick burst by Simon Fisher, the work of that offensive line really blowing things up. The defense stopping those plays, holding, let's keep in mind, Essex to 29 yards in the first half. The entire defense deserves a lot of credit. So certainly good things for the Tigers, but even some things to build on as you go forward.
Yeah, and again, for the Tigers, they've got a week to kind of right the ship and get ready for Rutland next week. Totally different scenario for the Hornets. I think they've definitely got something that they need to do about their passing. You can't have a quarterback go 2-for-11 or 2-for-10. I mean, you can't not have any type of passing game. That's something that you need to address, and that's certainly a little bit more difficult to address than, some penalties or maybe some turnovers. I don't know what you do in that, but you're 0-4. Are you out of it? You might be. But again, the Tigers got some really strong play when they had to tonight, and they won ugly, but again, they won.
Absolutely. And so it's a whole weekend here at the MEHS and MUHS homecoming. Of course, you listen to the Tigers football defeat Essex. We also want to let you know tomorrow at 10 a.m., boys soccer is going to be taking on Mount Abe at home. Girls varsity field hockey will be taking on Mount Mansfield at home at 10 a.m. And then tomorrow night will be an alumni banquet at the American Legion in Middlebury. Again, if you read the Independent, it said the VFW. Let's keep it in mind. It is the American Legion. And at 7 p.m., the Hall of Fame presentation of new inductees will be happening. And we just want to mention, of course, that those inductees include our very own Dave Sears, 92.1, and other places, the voice being inducted, along with Linda Andrews, Dave Sears, and Randy Sabrin. So congratulations to them and their families, and certainly great things there going for them. So we will see you next week here. 6:30 will be pregame. 7 o'clock will be the kickoff from the field down in Rutland when the Tigers take off the Rutland Raiders of Week 5 of the regular season. I'm Bjarke Sears for my partner Bruce Zeman, for Jim Tye back in the studio, and for everyone from 92.1 WVTK. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to MUHS Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK. Tiger Football all season long on WVTK is brought to you in part by
One Credit Union, your locally owned credit union on Green Street in Vergennes. Foster Motors, home of the We Care People on Route 7 South in Middlebury. Vermont Field and Sports for all your sports and hunting needs, and a great selection of new and used guns on Route 7 South in Middlebury. McIntyre Services of Middlebury on Court Street and Exchange Street. McIntyre Services, keeping friends warm for over 70 years. Mike's Auto and Towing for all your car care needs and more. See them online at mikesautomidd.com. That's mikesautomid.com. The A. Johnson Lumber Company of Bristol. Sustainable timber harvesting and SFI certified. Mike's Fuels of Bridport and Brandon. For all your home, business, and agricultural fuel needs on Route 22A in Bridport and in Brandon. Monument Farms of Weybridge. For local fresh milk from their farm to your local store. Martin's Hardware of Bristol and Middlebury. Your local True Value Hardware store and more. J.P. Carrera and Sons Concrete. Always ready to mix and they guarantee a solid finish. Call them at 388-6363. Desabray Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat. 1232 Exchange Street in Middlebury with a drop-off location in Vergennes. Dedeker Chevrolet, where they give you free state inspections for as long as you own the vehicle. Route 7 South in Middlebury. Find new roads. Autumn Gold Jewelry, featuring the Earth's most beautiful gifts. Autumn Gold Jewelry on Main Streets, downtown Middlebury, and at autumngoldjewelry.com. The National Bank of Middlebury, with locations in Middlebury, Bristol, Vergennes, Brandon, and Hinesburg, and online at nbmvt.com. LaBerge Insurance Incorporated, for all your insurance needs on Washington Street in Middlebury. Napa Auto Parts on Court Street in Middlebury. They have parts for the car, truck, boat, and even the 18-wheelers. Champlain Valley Properties of Middlebury. Looking for a new home? Visit ChamplainValleyProperty.com and see their videos on their YouTube channel at Champlain Valley Properties VT. Woodware, offering the finest furniture, housewares, and accessories on Route 7 South in Middlebury. Community College of Vermont, where high school students can earn free and transferable college credits at any of their college's 12 campuses or online at gotocollegevt.org. Countryside Carpet and Paint of Middlebury, your one stop for flooring, paint, and window treatments. Stop in today and decorate the countryside way. County Tire Center on Seymour Street in Middlebury, your trusted source for all your automotive and tire needs. County Tire Center, 802-388-7620 or at countytirecenter.com. Brandon RV on Route 7 in Pittsburgh. Let them keep you in the sun all year long with a quality RV and at prices lower than any other dealer in the U.S. or Canada. Lathrop Forest Products, with over 64 years of experience in the forests of Vermont, they have the skills and capability to consistently harvest timber. And Addison County Home Health and Hospice, providing quality home care to the residents of Addison County since 1968 on Route 7 in New Haven.
For a complete schedule of sports heard on 92.1 WVTK and more information, visit 921WVTK.com. Thanks for listening. This has been a local sports production on Addison County's 92.1 WVTK.